Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Which I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoy as we take back America every weekday morning right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Darkness has fallen on Washington, D.C., but there is a lightness you can see in the steps of marching bands in the inaugural parade. Native Americans are marching, high school and university bands from all over America. CBS's Nancy Cordes is there.
A lot of these are high school marching bands. We talked to some parents of kids who actually stayed 2 hours away in Richmond and would drive into Washington every day this past week to see the sights and prepare for the parade, but they didn't care. They're just so excited to be a part of this. You can imagine it's like winning the lottery for a high school band to be able to come and play in the inaugural parade.
School kids will learn about this day from now on.
To all the other peoples and governments who are watching today, from the grandest capitals to the small village where my father was born, know that America is a friend of each nation and every man, woman, and child who seeks a future of peace and dignity, and we are ready to lead once more.
I'm Steve Kathan on the National Mall, a scene of thousands and thousands of people braving the bitter cold to be part of history, a day of pride and emotion. A celebration, this woman says, but a realization that now comes the hard work.
I think it's going to be a struggle, and people are going to just have to have patience and, you know, to go along with what he's doing.
Some gates here were closed because of the overflow crowd, and there's word some people were treated for hypothermia.
Georgia Congressman John Lewis, who marched with Martin Luther King, said he never thought he'd see this.
As he stood and was sworn in, I shed some tears today. It was tears of joy, tears of happiness.
The work has begun. Senators gathered briefly.
Just a few hours after President Obama was sworn in, the Senate confirmed six of his cabinet nominees, though a vote on Hillary Clinton for Secretary of State was put off until tomorrow because Texas Republican Senator John Cornyn insisted on more debate. Getting the nod were Stephen Chu for Secretary of Energy, Arnie Duncan, Education, Janet Napolitano, Homeland Security, Senator Ken Salazar, Interior, retired General Eric Shinseki to run Veterans Affairs. Thomas Vilsack was okayed for Agriculture Secretary and Peter Orszag to run the Office of Management and Budget. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Senator Ted Kennedy's doctors say his seizure today was brought on by fatigue, they think, and he expects to leave the hospital tomorrow.
I just left Senator Kennedy, whose Irish is up, and he's laughing and joking and in good shape.
Senator John Kerry. Kennedy collapsed at the inaugural luncheon. Wall Street, this is not considered a comment on the day, but it may be a portent of things to come. Worst inauguration day performance for the Dow ever. The Dow lost 332 points. NASDAQ was off 88. And oil prices at nearly $39 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Reason number 48 to switch to GEICO.
As much as you enjoy the experience, you won't have to go to the post office. We can automatically debit your checking account or even charge your premium to your credit card. It's easy and you never have to worry about mailing your car insurance premium again. But we must warn you, you won't get to use any postage stamps. I hear they're coming out with some pretty cool designs.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Too much at once can sometimes get in the way of beautiful music. It's the same with driving. When there's too much on the road, things aren't so pleasant. And since one CSX train reduces traffic congestion by carrying a load of 280 trucks, fewer things will get in the way of you having a smooth drive. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Prosecutors at Guantanamo are asking to put cases on hold for now. CBS News Chief Legal Analyst Andrew Cohen.
The Obama administration has to figure out whether it wants to continue these important terror trials or move them to the United States or change the way they proceed. So they want to stop the clock and figure out a new plan. That's no surprise, and it's not likely to change the fate of the terror masterminds, who probably will never be set free anyway.
At the best, President Obama has acknowledged it'll take a year to close down the detainee facility at Guantanamo Bay. Everyone is tipping their hat to the Secret Service and the FBI and D.C. police and all the thousands of other police officers from around the nation who've been working today's inauguration and the parade. Roughly 2 million people estimated in Washington for the event, and not one arrest for any crimes. Better than Woodstock, 09, and without the drugs. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda-certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda-certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda-certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo with a free language lesson, so what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-349-5311. 1-800-349-5311. 1-800-349-5311.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. And for our listeners in Boston, welcome back. Our coverage of the Obama inauguration continues. Into the night.
Came from the heavens, it was easy to tell. It was love from above that could save me from hell. Shed fire in a soul, it was easy to see how the devil himself could be pulled out of me. There were drums in the air as she started to dance. Every soul in the room keeping time with her hands. And we sang,
in Washington, the inaugural parade continues. The Obamas are in a reviewing stand in front of the White House. And the Lawn Rangers, a group of lawnmowers from somewhere in Illinois, have just passed the official reviewing stand.
Spinning in circles with the moon in our eyes. No room left to move in between you and I.
Our special coverage of the historic inauguration of President Barack Obama is sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Visit their website at IBEW.org. IBEW is ready for our green energy future. And in Washington, there will be dancing on into the night. The inaugural balls get underway in the next couple of hours. Jeff Santos from our great station in Boston, WWZN, is on social patrol there. And we have deputized a number of our colleagues and friends in Washington and invited them to call in from the festivities wherever they happen to be. So stick around for that, and we're just going to see what happens here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you're just joining us, well, we've been on the air for five and a half hours since the conclusion of the inauguration proceedings. We've been on our Boston station, WWZN, and we have just added the other fine affiliates of the Peter B. Collins Network. So welcome to all to our program today. And as usual in an event like this, we don't know exactly what's going to happen next. That's what I enjoy. It makes it exciting. And you're welcome to call in and offer your comments on this momentous day and the change that it represents. My toll-free number, as usual, is 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And my email works, too. That's peter at peterbcollins.com. And I'd be delighted to hear from you however you decide to communicate with us here at the PBC show. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Lots going on today, and it has just been really powerful to absorb these events, the great inaugural speech that the new president delivered, and analyzing what it means for us going forward with all the problems that we have and all the things that we're challenged with. So it's very exciting, and at the same time, we know that we have so much more work to do. And so I think this is a good time to celebrate, recharge, and find new ways to build for our future. And here's my pal Hal from KRXA in Monterey. Hi, Hal.
Hey, Peter. I just wanted to share a little bit in the joy that I'm filled with you and how great it is, and I think we both should feel vindicated and pat ourselves on the back for you know, being part of this. And I think the progressive talk radio movement that you helped me get into, and I guess I've helped you with as well, has really been part of this, and I feel, you know, really a sense of satisfaction that I think you absolutely should feel as well.
Well, I agree, Hal. I don't take a lot of time to pat myself on the back, but probably I should do it occasionally. it has been quite a ride. You and I started KRXA back in the summer of 2005, and, you know, we really have come a long way and built a tremendous community-based radio station with a lot of loyal listeners. And what I've seen is that these are people who not just listen and say, oh, that's my favorite station or something like that, but people who actually listen to what we talk about and then, you know, pick up on those issues. And election reform is one of them, where activists in the Monterey area have been very involved in the election process and in trying to improve it.
No, absolutely. It's like you said, it's a community and people sharing their goals and their ways of getting strategies and tactics to get where we want it to be today. And I don't, and you know, I'm glad, you know, yes, KRXA, because that's where I'm involved, but you know, that goes for the entire network that you're on and even stations with, where you should be but aren't yet. So I think it is a community that the progressive radio movement, along with the bloggers like Coates and whatever, and we all have our disagreements, you know, we all have our little fiefdoms we like to protect, but together I think that we were able to share strategies and tactics that really allowed us to get to this great place that we're in, or certainly such a better place than we've been for 8 years.
Absolutely, Hal. And I feel a great burden has been lifted from us today. Just watching Cheney shuffle off in his limousine and to see Bush fly away on that helicopter and get smaller and smaller until we could just kind of push him out of our minds. It's just a very satisfying feeling. And the other thing was, while I was on the air in Boston today, about an hour after the inauguration, I pulled up whitehouse.gov. And Bush was still there. And I clicked refresh. And Bush went away, and the Barack Obama White House website came up. I monitor it during every break. There's still no executive orders issued.
Well, the other thing that was interesting, I mentioned this a little bit off top, and not much, is Bush did not go hog wild on the executive pardons.
Well, I've been monitoring that. I haven't seen any reporting. I'm kind of holding my breath to see if there's something that's going to be announced tomorrow or something like that.
Well, Huffington Post had a piece where they said he simply issued the two pardons of the border patrollers who shot the
smuggler, right?
And that was it.
Yeah, very
that
interesting.
Was it. Now, maybe there's something else, but that was the report I read. And, yeah, so that is good news. Apparently, and the other good news that goes along with that is at least it appears from some of the signals, and we often do just read tea leaves here, from what Nancy Pelosi has said, that they're reopening the idea of some type of criminal investigation, at least into some of the crimes of the Bush administration.
Yeah, at least into the U.S. attorney issues, and that's a good place to start because it could open up a lot of other things that would have to be investigated, too. Well, Hal, thank you for checking in today. Always good to hear from you. I need to move along, but thanks for joining us on the show today.
All right, thank you, Peter. Bye-bye.
Joining me now is the international president of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and I first and foremost want to thank Ed Hill for sponsoring our special inaugural coverage. Ed, welcome to our program.
Oh, thank you, Peter. It's good to be here.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, sir, and tell me your thoughts in witnessing the change of power in Washington today.
Well, the change of power in Washington is really evident. I was witness to the inauguration today, and I saw just so many people that I felt were comfortable, if you will, were looking to something new and something to change. It just there was a whole new feeling in the air. And among the laboring people in this country, I think that we've received a reprieve, if you will, after spending 8 long years on death row, if you can don't mind the coin of phrase there.
Nope, not at all. The labor movement and workers in general have been under assault. And the tax cuts that favored the wealthy, the way the Labor Department was used to hurt labor instead of help working Americans, these are just a few of the indications of the way that workers have been hurt. And beyond that, our disposable incomes have declined as our expenses have increased. The shift to the employee of more and more of the burden for health care, the reduction, if not wiping out, of pension benefits for many categories of workers in this country, and, of course, the huge increases in tuition and other expenses that don't show up as tax increases, but certainly are financial setbacks for working families.
Well, Peter, I see so many things that would take much more time than we have here this evening to talk about. It's just that we in the labor movement look. We need a change in energy policy in this country. We need a change. We need some the transmission grid that we have in this country, as far as electrical workers are concerned, need some very bad attention. I know that our members have been losing buying power, as you just mentioned, over the last 8 years, and it just seems like it's continual down spiral for not only our members, but for all working men in this country and women.
Well, Ed, looking quite honestly,
when we talk about what the future holds for the trade union movement, I think that we have an opportunity now for all working people, and I think the trade union movement should lead the way.
I want to play a brief excerpt of the president's address because he mentioned the grid that you have an interest and a concern about.
Today, we must pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking America. Work to be done. The state of our economy calls for action, bold and swift, and we will act not only to create new jobs but to lay a new foundation for growth. We will build the roads and bridges, the electric grids and digital lines that feed our commerce and bind us together.
So I'm just very pleased that in his speech he recognizes the grid issue, because I'm in favor of solar and wind power, but we know that we don't have the transmission lines to deliver it from the site of generation to the places where it's consumed.
Well, we will be putting a bill in conjunction with some of the utility companies to address the national grid. And I quite frankly believe that if we don't do something about it, we're going to end up with blackouts like we had a few years ago and brownouts all over the country. I believe that they're generating the solar power. I recently had a meeting with T. Boone Pickens regarding the wind generation, and one of the topics of the conversation was rebuilding the grid. And his suggestion of doing it like they did the interstate highway system kind of carries a little bit of merit. I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Pickens is an interesting guy. He certainly has a vision. Some of it is driven by self-interest, but that doesn't make it evil or, you know, inappropriate for the general population. I do think that his plan to, you know, use natural gas as a vehicle fuel as we transition to wind and solar makes sense. We simply need to, I think, develop that in a way that has broader consensus. He tried to kind of jam that through with a ballot measure here in California last fall.
Yes, I understand it. You know, there's one of the other things I think that we need to pay a little bit of attention to, and that's the fact that, well, I realize that we have an excess of carbon, and we want to do things green and clean, but we want to make sure that we don't hurt people along the way. I believe sometimes that the 25% below the 1990 carbon emissions bill or goal is a little bit unrealistic, and I think that we need to stick with what we can do realistically without putting more people out of work by trying to attain it.
And Ed Hill, I got time for one more, and that's the Employee Free Choice Act. This is really critical to organizing units represented by labor unions. And what is your strategy for passage of it this year?
Well, my personal strategy is to and that of the labor movement is to hold the feet to the fire of those individuals that have professed to be on our side, if you will, when it comes to the Employee Free Choice Act. The Employee Free Choice Act just about levels the playing field for us. They've been able now to, over the last few years, they've been able to drag out elections and drag out the certifications and things for years and years and years. And I think that's quite unfair. I think that the ball has been in management's court. I don't think we need to have it in labor's court. I just think we need to have a level playing field and one which is fair to the people that want to become union.
Yeah. Ed Hill, thank you for the work you're doing at IBEW, and thanks again for sponsoring our broadcast. I really appreciate it.
Happy to do so, Peter.
All right, and best wishes, and let us know how we can support your efforts on employee free choice and other initiatives in the coming year.
We'll definitely do that. Thank you very much.
All right, that's Ed Hill, the international president of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. We'll take a break and return here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays 3 to 5 p.m. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show, so please, if you tune in and hear basketball, listen in on Sundays from 3 to 5, The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Princess Monterey Whale Watching on Old Fisherman's Wharf in Monterey. Remember, if you hear basketball during my show on Saturday, tune in Sundays 3 to 5 for The Sheila Show. See ya.
What would life be without flowers? It would be like a birthday cake with no candles, a wedding with no ring. It would be like a graduation without friends and relatives, a promotion without a raise. Thankfully, life is full of flowers and reasons to give them. In fact, sometimes the best reason is no reason at all. And all you have to do is stop by or call Ferrari Florists and Gifts. You see, flowers from Ferrari Florists and Gifts are more personal and special because whatever you're celebrating, we can create unique arrangements from a wide selection of fresh-cut flowers, and we can deliver them the same day, so you can enjoy life and even declare your love with flowers. Call Ferrari Florists and Gifts today at 460-7000 or visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com. And we'll help you realize the true potential of flowers. Ferrari Florists and Gifts, 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz. Experts in the art of expression.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
And gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad. Now we're all in danger. Come around, up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Well, I felt better this morning, and I'll feel even better tomorrow morning, knowing Bush isn't in the White House. Justin Frank, M.D., wrote the book Bush on the Couch, a psychiatrist from the D.C. area. He never actually examined the president. We like to be clear about that. Dr. Frank, welcome back to our program.
Thank you. It's good to be back. It's a new beginning here.
Haven't talked to you in a while. Now, what do you think Bush did when he got in that chopper? Go to the minibar?
Well, you know, he might have, or he might have done it on his way to the inauguration, for all I know. I don't know what he had in that last coffee that he had with the Obamas.
Right, yeah.
But clearly, he was just sort of spaced out. What was interesting is that the camera work, I was on the mall, but the camera work could cut to him with impunity, I think. And so at one, which they, you know, they've always been afraid of him. So when Obama made a comment about change from whatever it was that was terrible, they panned to Bush's face for about 3 seconds, and it was amazing that they would do that, as it was clearly a political statement by whoever was in charge of the camera work.
What did you think of Bush's exit interviews where he became more and more comfortable admitting that he authorized torture?
Well, I think that the more he admits that he feels that that's a way of undermining the possibility of prosecution, I think that if he looks really relaxed, he may feel that people will be less interested in taking revenge on him. So I think his main goal in leaving office is to make sure that he does not get prosecuted or that he stays out of jail. I don't think that there's a big chance that he would be put in jail, but I think that he wants to make sure that that doesn't happen. So I don't really make too much of it other than it's a calculated move to defang the enemy, the perceived enemy, which is, you know, people who could potentially prosecute him. And I think that it's the same. He's always done that. He's instinctively known how to undermine potential attackers, either, you know, in the past with jokes or with even calling himself a compassionate conservative in the beginning in 2000 election. It's a way of undermining people who are going to be critical of him.
Yeah. Well, now we can misunderestimate him with abandon.
Right.
Thanks for a quick update. It's nice to talk to you again,
it's
Dr.
Nice.
Frank.
I don't know if you want to talk about the inauguration or that.
I'm out of time, and I can't stop the break. It's like a freight train coming on.
Okay.
But we'll talk again, Dr.
Great
Frank.
To you.
Okay. Thank you. Nice to hear from you. Justin Frank, the author of Bush on the Couch. There's more ahead. Stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. When Franklin D. Roosevelt, in his inaugural address, said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, he was talking about a certain kind of fear.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance.
There's a reason that we're hearing Obama quote FDR a lot more and Abraham Lincoln a bit less. These are really FDR-like times.
Adam Cohen, assistant editorial page editor of the New York Times, is author of the book Nothing to Fear, FDR's Inner Circle and the 100 Days That Created Modern America.
No question the Great Depression was worse. 85% decline in the stock market, 25% unemployment. But still, things are really bad now. We're losing 500,000 jobs a month, it looks like. And people are worried we're sliding towards 1933.
More after this.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039. Call now. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039.
The love fest for Barack Obama that's going on in Washington won't last, and he knows it, says Anthony Mason, our CBS News business correspondent.
He comes to office in the midst of a deepening recession, the worst one we've seen in a very long time, and he's got to try to, slow it and stop it and turn it around. And, you know, to a great degree, his first term is going to be judged on how successful he is.
What do people expect of him?
They're going to want to see action. This election was about change. It's been said a million times. And, you know, more than anything, they want change in the economy. And so he is going to have to act quickly with a stimulus package, which we know is coming. You know, the question is it targeted correctly and will it work?
But all new presidents get a honeymoon, don't they?
I think his honeymoon, if he gets one, will last probably 6 months. And then, you know, people are going to want to see some results. I think the reality is the economy is going to be bad at least through the first half of the year and is going to look bad, even though it may be improving, until the end of the year for sure.
Anthony Mason, thank you. The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Mm-hmm.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, celebrating the inauguration of Barack Obama.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me under the skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled and followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. And all around me, a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for women.
Really tickled me to hear Pete Seeger join Bruce Springsteen in performing this great American anthem written by Woody Guthrie at the pre-inaugural conference concert on Sunday. In a few minutes, historian Harvey Wasserman will join us on the program to share some tidbits from presidential and inaugural history. And I have to just tell you how amazing Katrina Rill is. She never loses a phone number. And somehow back there, she got Dick Cheney's cell phone number. And a couple of minutes ago, I asked her to try it. And he answered. Dick?
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? What do you want, Peter? Are you liberal, you?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you want? What are you looking for?
Well, now that you're out of office and you can't send me to Gitmo, can we have a little honest chat?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Give it a try.
How you feeling, Dickster? How'd you hurt your back?
Well, you know, I was lifting coat and, you know, the shredding machine. And it was an all-nighter. I had to pull an all-nighter at the shredding machine. And just dinged up, you know, L5. And I got a bad L5.
Uh-huh.
And so it'll be okay, though. I got a nuclear-powered wheelchair with lasers on it. So,
uh-huh.
So I'll be fine while rolling around. But, you know, I want to just say about this new administration.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, this is my show.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. On the back pain, can you rule out that you're actually lifting the White House computer servers with all the missing emails on them?
I'm not at liberty to divulge that information.
Okay.
Still.
Well, go ahead with your spin on the inauguration. What did it look like to you? This is, you've been to quite a few of them, and actually raised your hand twice.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, it's kind of rote by now, you know, the same old pattern, same old thing. I was high on drugs at the time, so I was listening to my iPod. But, you know, that one good thing about Obama, I can say for him, you know, he's all about family.
Yeah.
It's all about forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
And now that we've found out that we're related, I'm an eighth cousin.
Yeah.
Found, you heard about that.
Yeah, I did. Uh-huh.
The Huguenot side. And, well, he's forgiving me, and he also, his mother-in-law is pretty smart, so she's talked him into letting me and Lynn stay at the White House.
No!
That's right. We're staying at the White House. We're family. So he's family. We're family. And he's forgiving me.
No.
And that's right. We're staying at the White House. They got 16 bedrooms there. What the heck? So I'm just going to pat around the White House in my Darth Vader slippers.
Wow. The nightmare has moved from Wall Street to Main Street to Pennsylvania Avenue, and it didn't
even
stop on Elm Street.
You're not getting rid of me. It's going to be like a twisted version of All in the Family there at the White House.
And are you going to be maybe? Well, I was thinking more of the Addams Family, and you could be Uncle Fester.
Well, no, I'm going to be Uncle Dick. You know, and I'll be around. And but tonight I'm trying out my new act. I'm trying a new course for career.
Yeah, where's
and
that?
Going into show business, and me and Sarah Palin have got an act, and we're going to do it tonight over at some inaugural party in Alameda at Rhythmics Cultural Works across the Park Street Bridge, and we're going to try that out, and then we're taking it to Sparks, and then Reno, and then hopefully Vegas. So I'll be on the big stage in Vegas in no time,
right.
And then maybe even Branson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you mentioned high on drugs and listening to your iPod. Did Rush Limbaugh actually slip you some OxyContin to help you with your pain?
Yeah, he owed me. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I set him up for the first time. Yeah, so I just give him a quick call, and he had one of his little, little slave boys come over.
Uh-huh.
Slave boys, I should have said that.
Are they rent boys?
well, he figured it out.
Mr. Former Vice President, one of the commitments you made when you took office was that you would take your Halliburton stock options, which gained in value because of the atrocious war in Iraq and the incredible, you know, war profiteering that occurred and that KBR and Halliburton benefited from.
Oh, thank you very much.
Now, you said that you were going to donate your stock options to charity. Condoleezza Rice Foundation, George W. Bush Library, where is it actually going?
The Dick Cheney Trout Farm.
The Trout Farm?
Yeah, it's a nonprofit trout farm up in Wyoming. We're going to be digging some new trout trenches, I like to call them.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to grow some genetically modified trout bigger than Volkswagens. And we're going to offer up some of the Republican politicians a chance to go shoot those trout. We're not going to just go, it's going to be like a canned shoot I went on back down there.
Right, yeah.
What's his name? Well, I can't remember. What's his face?
Yeah, Banker.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
So we're going to allow to bring, a lot of Republicans like to do that kind of canned hunting and fishing, so we're going to provide shotguns and giant fish to shoot. What do you think, huh?
Well, and, you know, it just reminds me of the way you intervened personally with the Department of Interior to get them to divert water from the Klamath River into agribusiness interests, and it has caused the decline of the salmon spawning year after year after year. So you're going to grow fish so the Republicans can shoot them in a barrel, but you're the guy basically responsible for the decimation of the salmon population on the West Coast.
That's right. Well, it's good to be king, or it was good to be king. I'll be a little bit out of the loop now, but not totally. You know, I've got my personal satellite.
You do?
Oh, yeah, I got a personal geosynchronous satellite above my head at all times. I've got lasers and stuff. I can laser you right down to your cheap shoes in no time if I wanted to get the coordinates. And I still got that.
Now, yesterday a bunch of lefties came to the White House and threw their shoes. It was to reenact the Iraqi journalist who did that for Bush.
Yeah.
Anything come in that you like that you adopted in your size?
Nothing. I took a quick look. George got there first, of course, since he was the target. So.
Uh-huh.
And I think he picked up a nice set of penny loafers.
Well, he can now be light in his loafers. And let me just ask you one more thing behind the scenes. Is it true that Bush started drinking again while he was in the White House?
Did he ever stop?
Oh.
I mean, start. Did he ever stop?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
All right. Well, Dick, I have to just finally tell you that I'm really pissed, okay?
Really?
I think you were evil. I think that your expansions of presidential power were unconstitutional.
Thank you.
And the projection of freedom at the barrel of a gun. You know, you guys fulfilled Osama bin Laden's wildest dreams. You put American troops on Islamic soil for a long, long time.
Yeah. Cool how we did that, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the American people let us get away with it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, Dick, happy trails.
Yeah. Well, I'll be watching you, Peter.
Yeah, I'll bet you will. I know you've been monitoring me, so watching isn't any more difficult. Yeah.
And remember, God bless America and nobody else.
Okay. Thank you, Dick.
Yeah.
I guess. All right. Well, so much for the former vice president. Have we had enough? Harvey Wasserman returns to our program today. He's the historian who has told us a lot more than we used to know about our presidents. Hey, Harvey.
Hey, Peter. How are you? You know, I couldn't help remarking, watching Dick Cheney, that he was really Vice President Strangelove.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He definitely was.
He really belonged in that wheelchair. It was perfect for him.
Well, you know, that and the shoe toss at Bush in Baghdad, these are the unscripted icons that we will remember these two dudes by.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Harvey, under a pseudonym, you have published Passions of the Patriots, and this includes some never-before-told stories and some fictionalized accounts of history in America. And when we go back to some of the previous presidents, what are some of the startling things that occurred in the White House besides, the shenanigans of Dick Cheney?
Well, of course, you know, we had Franklin Roosevelt, who really was in a wheelchair for his entire time in the White House and managed to pretty much keep it from the public. It wasn't until the last few months of his presidency that he really kind of let the public in and to know that, that he had been incapacitated with polio really from the time he became governor of New York prior to being president. Now, he couldn't have gotten away with that in today's day and age because the, most of the press corps knew that he couldn't walk. There was a gentleman's agreement to keep that from the public. So probably a very small percentage of the population knew that this great leader, the leader of the Western world, was incapacitated. It was an amazing situation, really, when you think about it.
Now, also on Roosevelt, how many people knew about his mistress? Lucy Mercer was her name, right?
Yes. Well, he had a couple, apparently, and he was not alone in that. I mean, Lyndon Johnson, even Dwight Eisenhower had a mistress. Of course, John Kennedy had many. Richard Nixon, we really wish Richard Nixon would have had at least one or two. He might not have attacked Cambodia because the rumor was that he and Pat slept apart the whole time they were in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it showed, actually.
Yeah, I think it did.
You know, but of course, Bill Clinton really, it was pretty hard to top Clinton with Monica Lewinsky. That one you couldn't make up. George W. Bush seems to have been pretty true to Laura, but that does not seem to be the case with George H.W. He had, as best we can tell, at least one girlfriend through his time in the presidency. You know, I think it's a healthy thing.
Wait. Let's get correct on the Bushes here. You're talking about H.W. Bush had a girlfriend, right?
Yes. What was it, 41? Whatever number he was.
Yeah, he was 41.
The father. And I love the euphemisms that the media, you know, the networks kept talking about how, well, George H.W. really viewed his father more as a father figure than an advisor, which basically is code for saying that the kid didn't listen to the old man, even though he knew a lot better than George W. did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Now, there aren't any rumors that W. had any girlfriends while he was in the White House, are there?
The who?
W.
No, there are none. I think could have used a couple as well. But, none whatsoever. It was really, it's the norm. Well, Harry Truman seems to have been pretty true to Beth. Of course, Warren G. Harding, the rumor is that he died in office, apparently, of food poisoning, and many people believe his wife did it, that she knew that he was having all sorts of affairs. It was pretty much an open secret, and that she may have done him in. We don't know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The most difficult, I have to say that of all the presidents, the one I admire most in terms of what he did in his personal life in the White House was Abraham Lincoln. His wife, Mary Todd, was really certifiable. She should have been institutionalized. And for this guy, Abe Lincoln, to run the country the way he did and to win the Civil War the way he did while his wife was completely out of control, is amazing. His wife spent money like water while they were in the White House, and she really should have been indicted, and he knew it. And, you know, for him to manage to do that, you know, all day he's fighting a civil war, and he comes home to his crazy wife. It was quite astonishing, actually.
Yeah, that was in the days before Abilify.
she could have used it, Paxil or Prozac. She really had major problems, and as did he. He was also a manic depressive. But he managed to control it while he was in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
People who admire Lincoln actually generally only know half the story. I mean, the man had a tremendous bout with clinical depression and managed to come out of it. But his wife had it even worse.
Yeah, they called it the melancholy in those days, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I think that really Abe Lincoln's struggles with depression gave him, in many ways, the intestinal fortitude to carry through to do what he needed to do as the president through the Civil War.
Yeah. Harvey, I got to run, but thank you for those updates and interesting history bites.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you again, Peter. Keep up the great work.
And you can find out more. Go to harveywasserman.com. And under the pseudonym Tom Paine, he has written Passions of the Patriots. A lot of interesting history and speculation there. We'll take a break. There's more straight ahead. And you can call in if you have a comment that you'd like to share with us here on Inauguration Day. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Hunt, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
The Otters are on the bus to Panoma and San Bernardino this coming Friday and Saturday. Don't miss any of the action here on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
Continues our coverage of the historic inauguration is sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Their website is IBEW.org. IBEW, ready for our green energy future. Minutes in front of the hour, Robert Dreyfus returns to our program, and he, of course, is a journalist based in Washington, covers international and foreign policy issues, and he blogs almost daily at thenation.com, the Dreyfus Report. Bob, how's it going?
It is great. Great. Good to talk to you.
Well, I wanted to check in. Have you heard anything new about Senator Kennedy? He had some sort of a seizure or other event at the congressional luncheon in Statuary Hall.
You know, the only thing I saw is that he seemed to have somewhat recovered and stabilized. So whatever happened, it wasn't life threatening, at least not this time around.
Yeah, okay. Any other developing stories related to the inauguration, crowd control issues, or any other problems that you know that have popped up there inside the Beltway?
You know, they're now saying that there was something like 2.2 million people is the latest I heard.
Wow.
Thing, and everything seemed to go very smoothly. My son actually went down to the inauguration and just kind of sauntered up there and got into right up front almost, and he was, you know, a latecomer. So I think everything ran pretty smoothly. The metro system had its record-breaking day today with almost a million riders. So, it was pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm. William in Santa Cruz has a quick question for us. Go ahead, William. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Bob Dreyfus.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
I was wondering about presidential pardons. People have been speculating for months that Karl Rove and Dick Cheney and various administration members were going to be getting pardons, you know, because of the torture, because of corrupting the Justice Department and outing a CIA agent, et cetera.
Well, to my knowledge, the last two pardons were actually the commutations of the two Border Patrol agents, named Nacho. Bob, has anything else been revealed since?
No. Bush can sign all kinds of pardons now, but unfortunately for him, nobody is going to pay him any attention. So
right.
He can sit down in Texas and scribble pardons all day long. But
he didn't sign a bunch and leave them in a drawer there to be discovered tomorrow.
No, I don't think that's how it works.
The other thing is with Harvey Wasserman saying that they're, just if I could touch on this quickly, about George W. Bush not having affairs, there was that rumor about him getting involved with Condoleezza Rice, and Laura Bush was staying at the Mayflower Hotel and all of that. So I don't know if that's...
Yeah, those are tab stories, and they never really made it into what I would call respectable media. So
Harvey Wasserman wouldn't bother with the... If it's just tabloid, in other words.
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Now, Bob, I'm just getting word that the Senate did confirm a number of the president's appointments today, but held off on the final vote on Hillary Rodham Clinton as Secretary of State. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, there was some annoying Republican senator. My guess it was Vitter from
Louisiana,
who was apparently yelping about objections that he had, so they've apparently going to have to put that off, so they couldn't do it by, you know, acclamation or voice. They had to, you know, have to take a roll call or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's encouraging that George Mitchell is going to get the Middle East job. I think that's a important break with maybe some expectations that Obama was going to pick someone perhaps more known for one-sided sympathies for the Israeli side of that dispute. So that, I guess, won't be announced until after Hillary gets confirmed, though, so that's all kind of backing up in the pipeline here.
In the foreign policy pipeline, yeah. Well, I do find that encouraging. I've been very disappointed and angry at the way the United States has basically just turned a blind eye to the Israeli massacre there in Gaza. And I have no real sympathy for Hamas. It's the Palestinian people who are in this occupation situation. And for them to be essentially, you know, living in the middle of a battlefield, and some of the excesses of bombing the UN Center and the one of the final strokes on Saturday before Israel imposed its unilateral ceasefire was a white phosphorus attack on a school that burned a number of little children. And, those kinds of things really strike me as efforts that the United States should repudiate. In an effort to find footing as an honest broker for these parties.
Yeah, well, there's a new president in town, and I don't think the Israelis will find it quite so easy to get away with these things as they did before, but it's very strange what this fight was about in Gaza, what the Israelis thought they could accomplish. I mean, now that there's a ceasefire and people are going to start to rub their eyes and look back at this now, I think that it's going to hurt some of the people, at least, who advocated this attack on Gaza, because they didn't accomplish much. They tarnished Israel's reputation, but they didn't exactly do a great deal of damage to Hamas, at least not lasting damage.
Mm-hmm.
They killed a lot of people, but what exactly they accomplished is, I think it's still kind of up for grabs. And,
yeah.
And you know, this same prime minister, Olmert, suffered dramatically when he invaded Lebanon 2 years ago and had nothing to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to have done, unless I'm missing something, they seem to have done the same thing in Gaza, too.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to review this in a few weeks, but my current impression is similar to yours, Bob.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm out of time this segment, but we'll talk again real soon.
Sure, anytime.
Robert Dreyfus, read him at thenation.com. We'll take a break. There's more on the other side as we continue our inauguration coverage here on the Peter B. Collins Show. IBEW is the proud sponsor of our progressive coverage of the historic inauguration of President Barack Obama. With 750,000 members nationwide, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers leads the way to our green energy future. Our skilled members are excited by the innovation and environmental benefits of the solar and wind generation facilities we've already built. There's one aspect that needs more attention, and that's the grid. Our electrical grid system needs to be updated and upgraded to deliver the green power we want. We learned the hard way during the blackout of 2005 in the East and Midwest, and in California in 2001. Our grid is aging and under strain, so IBEW urges Congress to remember the grid as it builds the plan for our energy future. Find out more at IBEW.org. A message from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Barack Obama launches his presidency.
Starting today, we must pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking America.
I'm Barry Bagnato along Pennsylvania Avenue, a canyon of cheers as the new president led a parade to the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
A few minutes after noon, before a sea of humanity on the National Mall in Washington, Barack Obama became the 44th president of the United States. In his inaugural address, he bluntly said the country is in crisis, at war with a badly weakened economy.
Today, I say to you that the challenges we face are real. They are serious and they are many. They will not be met easily or in a short span of time. But know this, America, they will be met.
Mr. Obama said stale political arguments no longer apply. The question, he said, is not whether our government is too big or too small, but whether it works. And he sent a message to the world.
We are ready to lead once more.
Aretha Franklin sang for a crowd estimated at up to 2 million, among them many children brought by their parents to watch history in the making.
Obama is the first black president, and it makes me really happy to see a black person up there.
Now this.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny, money in, money out, so I always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
A cloud over the festivities on Capitol Hill when Senator Ted Kennedy, who's being treated for brain cancer, suffered a seizure at the inaugural luncheon. He was rushed to the hospital, but Massachusetts colleague John Kerry says he quickly came around.
I just left Senator Kennedy.
who's Irish is up, and he's laughing and joking and in good shape.
Doctors ran tests and say the seizure was brought on by simple fatigue. Kennedy will remain overnight for observation. Meanwhile, the big parade got underway.
I'm Barry Bagnato along Pennsylvania Avenue. After patiently waiting, shivering for hours, the colorful crowds here burst into cheers as the new president and his wife led the inauguration parade, waving from their limousine. The roar grew until the noise echoed in waves along this historic corridor. Then came the bands, upbeat, patriotic. At high noon here, as Mr. Obama took his oath, Sharon White, African-American like him, bowed her head, remembering the prejudice she faced.
Oh my God, it is the most inspiring moment.
Twice along the parade route, the Obamas got out of their armored limo to walk with Secret Service agents steps away. When they reached the White House, they went to a heated reviewing stand to watch the floats of 50 states pass by. Even before the new president left the Capitol, he had documents to sign.
This is my first official act. I'm a lefty. Get used to it.
From his new office in the West Wing, Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel ordered federal agencies to halt all pending regulations until they can be reviewed. And as CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports, the Senate was taking care of business.
Half a dozen of President Obama's cabinet choices were confirmed by voice vote, including Secretaries of Education, Energy, Homeland Security, Agriculture, Interior, and Veterans Affairs. Democrats wanted to get Senator Hillary Clinton confirmed as Secretary of State, but Texas Republican Senator John Cornyn objected and said he wanted a debate, so that vote will come tomorrow.
George W. Bush, now a former president, is back home in Midland, Texas, where he was greeted by a crowd of thousands.
You know, they asked me, how do you feel after this momentous day? I am grateful and I am thankful. I am grateful that you all came out to welcome us home.
The Obamas will attend 10 inaugural balls tonight. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Reason number 48 to switch to Geico.
As much as you enjoy the experience, you won't have to go to the post office. We can automatically debit your checking account or even charge a premium to your credit card. It's easy and you never have to worry about mailing your car insurance premium again. But we must warn you, you won't get to use any postage stamps. I hear they're coming out with some pretty cool designs.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Too much at once can sometimes get in the way of beautiful music. It's the same with driving. When there's too much on the road, things aren't so pleasant. And since one CSX train reduces traffic congestion by carrying a load of 280 trucks, fewer things will get in the way of you having a smooth drive. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, celebrating the inauguration of Barack Obama. And our program is sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, IBEW.org. IBEW, ready for our green energy future. This is radio somewhere, bouncing off the satellite. And there goes the boss, Bruce Springsteen. It was great to see him perform at the pre-inaugural concert on Sunday. And somebody who is there joins me now, Bob Perry, Robert Perry, the journalist who publishes at the nonprofit investigative journalism site called ConsortiumNews.com. And do I have that right, Bob? I've talked to a lot of people today, but did you get to the concert on Sunday?
No, I did not get to the concert. I went to the, I did go to the inaugural events today, or at least to the swearing in.
Oh, okay. I had to, somebody else went to the concert. Sorry. But I enjoyed watching it on TV. I thought they did a really good job, and Springsteen was there. Garth Brooks did the old American Pie song, and it was just really well done, and I thought a very interesting group of performers.
I thought Pete Seeger was great, especially when he jogged off the stage at the end. I wish I, if I'm that old, I can jog too.
Well, I just pulled up consortiumnews.com, and Robert Perry has already posted a piece, a think piece about Inauguration Day 2009. And I've done this before, but for the benefit of new listeners, I'd just like to say that I really appreciate your skills at analysis and the way you draw on your knowledge of the events of the past to inform the present and the future. And I compare you to some of the think pieces that R.W. Apple, Johnny Apple, used to publish in the New York Times. And this one fits in that category, too. Let me just read a couple of lifts here. Even on Inauguration Day 09, as most Americans rejoice that Bush's disastrous presidency is finally heading into the history books, there should be reflection on how this catastrophe could have befallen the United States and on who else was responsible. Indeed, it may become one of the greatest historical mysteries, leaving future scholars to scratch their heads over how a leader with as few qualifications as George W. Bush came to lead the world's most powerful nation at the start of the 21st century. How could a significant number of American voters have thought that an enterprise as vast and complicated as the U.S. government could be guided by a person who had failed at nearly every job he ever had, whose principal qualification was that his father was fondly remembered as having greater personal morality than his successor, Bill Clinton. Well, those are powerful thoughts, and I don't imagine too many people are thinking about Bush today. I think a lot of them are pleased to kind of push him out of their brain space, would you say?
I think that's true. I wrote that piece last night. It was sort of my last piece relating to the Bush administration, at least while he was still in office. But I think you're right. A lot of people do want to move on and look to the future and hope that this president does well, and I think we all do. However, there are real serious questions as to what was wrong with our political process that allowed someone like George Bush to be president for two terms and to inflict the kind of harm, not just on the country in terms of policies, in terms of the wars that didn't have to be fought and the economic policies that have turned so horrible for so many Americans, but also the assault on the Constitution, the willingness to sweep aside many of the founding principles of this nation, to treat the Constitution like it was just a piece of paper. These are things we have to still deal with and still figure out what was wrong with our media, what was wrong with the political insiders. How could this have happened? We went from being a country with so much in terms of economic power, in terms of a government that was paying off its debt, from a country that was largely at peace to almost the opposite. And how could that have occurred? And we better make sure as a nation that the folks who allowed that to happen, who played along with it, created the environment for it, whether it be the journalists, the pundits, the think tankers, the people in politics more directly, the politicians. We better make sure that those people are identified so they don't get to do it again. I'm afraid that so much of the Washington establishment has simply turned the page. Many of the people who enabled the Bush administration are still here. In some cases, Obama seems to be catering to them. He goes to have dinner with William Kristol and Charlie Krauthammer and some of the pundits. He seems to be playing along with them. And maybe that's what he has to do, or he feels he has to do, to essentially co-opt them, at least for the time being. Or maybe he doesn't fully grasp how much harm they did to our nation. And I think that's a tough question, but it's one that we have to deal with.
Well, and Bob, there are many things there, and one of the things that I look at is that I firmly believe that the 2000 and 2004 elections were rigged, and that the Democrats were not, you know, very effective in either fixing the problem, preventing it from recurring, or even acknowledging the extent of it. And it started there. where Bush seized the moment where he was temporarily ahead in the vote count in Florida, got the Supreme Court to stop the counting of votes, and then declared that he had won with a mandate. And he ruled like he had a mandate, and the Democrats let him. And it's interesting right now to watch the process as the cabinet is being approved. Six of them were approved in a single voice vote in the Senate this afternoon. I go back to the struggles over confirmations where Democrats just went along with Alberto Gonzalez, with the promotion of Condoleezza Rice from National Security Advisor to Secretary of State based on her failure in the previous job. And so we do have to look hard at the role Democrats played in passivity and acceptance of the assertions and the reaches of Bush and Cheney.
I think that's true. And I think we also have to look at the news media. You know, how did my colleagues in the press corps, I was part of that mainstream press corps for many years, how did we simply put our careers first? Why were someone willing to challenge President Bush when he would say things that were obviously false or highly dubious? Even when he would blatantly lie, my favorite has long been this claim that he started making as early as July of 2003 that Saddam Hussein did not let the inspectors into Iraq. That's why we have to invade.
Yeah.
And never once did a journalist say, "Mr. President, you're simply not telling the truth." I mean, we know what the truth is. We knew the inspectors were there, and he forced them out. It wasn't Saddam Hussein, but no journalist has had the courage to say that to the president. And well, I think that says an awful lot.
And it's hard to believe that they would have treated Bill Clinton or prospectively Barack Obama in the same way. The deference and the intimidation that the media evidenced in relation to Bush and Cheney is palpable. And even in the exit interviews where they've got nothing to lose by confronting Bush and Cheney about their dissembling, people like Jim Lehrer just allowed them to say the BS and moved on to the next question.
There's a huge danger, I mean, career-wise, for the press, for journalists. They're all afraid of being accused of being liberal. That's sort of the death knell. If that's pinned on you, at least as it has been for a number of years, your career is in grave danger. So you put your career always ahead of doing your job. And being tough with someone like George Bush or Barack Obama or Bill Clinton or whoever is your job. But instead of doing that with Republicans, there's a willingness to sort of play along, to not be confrontational. Very different rules apply when you're dealing with a liberal or with a Democrat. But that problem has to be addressed. The American people have to figure out a way to do media very differently. And that's one thing I know you've tried to do for many years, and I've been doing with ConsortiumNews.com, is to try to figure out some way to do it differently.
Mm-hmm. And so, the dinner at George Will's house seems like an adroit move on Obama's part. He's already gotten some sweet columns out of Crystal and Brooks just for spending a couple hours at dinner. But how do you think he will operate as a campaign? They were very disciplined in dealing with the media. Their message control was really up there on a par with Republicans. How do you see the Gibbs operation at the new Obama White House interacting with the media?
Well, I think there's going to be an effort to continue to co-opt some of the powerful journalists and keep them from being too critical. And that may be smart in certain ways. But there really does have to be a sense that there has to be a building media that is truly honest and looks out for the interests of the readers and the listeners, and that's not what you're going to get from the people who were part of the media under George W. Bush. These are people, in a sense, are not to be trusted, especially people like a Crystal or Krauthammer. These are people who are not just people who are they're not just people who, in a sense, went along. They were participants in some of the worst decisions in the use of aggressive war, attacks on the Muslim world in a very profound way that has harmed this nation. So these aren't just people to co-opt. In a sense, in a normal society, they're almost people you would put in prison. If you had the Nuremberg principles, you'd say journalists who participated in war crimes of this nature should be held accountable too, along with the politicians. But here you get a Democratic president coming in with a fairly strong mandate, feeling he has to kowtow to them.
Well, and we see the former stalwarts or fortresses of the media crumbling to some extent. The New York Times has been forced to put ads on the front page because of the economic problems they're having. They are in negotiations with the richest man in Mexico, Carlos Slim, to sell an even bigger portion of the Times company to him to try to bail them out. And at the same time, it does appear their standards have slid, with Bill Kristol being permitted to stay on their op-ed page, even after it became very clear that he was directly involved in the McCain campaign's selection of Sarah Palin. And, you know, these are issues that are out there in the daylight, and here is the New York Times accepting that, and I don't really understand why. Crystal's time has come and gone, at least for now, and it doesn't seem that there's any direct benefit to them to put up with that.
Well, they went out and sought him out. It was only a year or so when the publisher of the New York Times, Sulzberger, went out and sought out Bill Kristol. He wanted to increase the neoconservative opinion on the New York Times opinion page. And there are already plenty of neoconservatives there. And here was a philosophy that has done the nation so much harm and is really such a minor force in terms of numbers, given the harm it's done. But it's done that harm because it's had people in key places who can shape the opinions of the nation. And to go out at this late stage, when the neocon agenda has played out to such a destructive way for the nation, and to seek out that kind of opinion additionally, it's unbelievable, but it shows the kind of mentality that now exists even at the highest levels of papers like the New York Times. There's a feeling you've got to pander, you've got to reach out to those people because they're powerful, and if you don't, they'll call you names, they'll call you liberal, and you can't have that happen to you.
Right.
So we're still seeing that. Maybe as the Obama administration gets underway, that will start to recede a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we still shouldn't forget the harm it's done.
That's Dick Cheney calling. Better run. Thank you, Bob. Good to talk to you.
Okay, thank
All
you.
Right. Robert Perry joins us every Friday in our first hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Read his work at consortiumnews.com. There's more straight ahead here on our inaugural special on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, ThinkerToys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, ThinkerToys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join ThinkerToys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why ThinkerToys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. ThinkerToys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on Highway 68, just east of the 1, we have a two-vehicle traffic collision with no injuries. And in Santa Cruz, we have a collision on Capitola Road at 7th Avenue. Vehicles are in the center divider. In weather, we're having another magnificent day. Right now, it's 72 in Monterey. Salinas is 77 degrees. And Santa Cruz is 75. And for tonight, expected to be cloudy and for temperatures to drop into the 40s. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540, and congratulations to our new 44th President, Barack Obama, and stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Inaugural special coverage continues here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. You got a comment, you can share it with us, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, or email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. We've been on the air since just after the official proceedings at the Capitol earlier today, exclusively in Boston up until the last hour, and then we added the great affiliates of the Peter B. Collins Show, mostly here on the West Coast, and we continue live in Boston, so our Boston listeners may have heard Mel Goodman earlier today. He's the former CIA officer who's the author of Failure of Intelligence, and he rode his bicycle to the inauguration today and took advantage of the valet bike parking that they offered. That's a real new wrinkle, a real innovation, Mel. Now you're back home and warmed up. You feeling better?
I feel like I thawed out a bit, but I'm headed for Wisconsin tomorrow, so maybe it was good training.
Oh, wow.
I'm just so glad I did it. It was just a majestic experience, a joyous experience, and just seeing all the faces. It was an unusual day.
Yeah, and are you a toe clips guy, or do you just ride a regular bike?
Oh no, this is one of these hybrid bikes.
Mm-hmm.
It's got about, I don't know, 55 gears. I don't know. I use about five of them. Fortunately, we're at sea level here, you know.
Right.
So it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Now, was getting out of the crowd as easy as it was moving into the event today?
Yes, because I stayed late, and the crowd started leaving, I guess, after the speech. But quite a few stayed around, and quite a few came to the Lincoln Memorial. That was the highlight of the day, just mm-hmm. to come by to see the memorial, climb the steps, pay respects there. It's like completing the cycle, I guess, to go from this inauguration and then to pay thanks to Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
So it made for just a beautiful day.
And was there a theme in the inaugural address that really connected with you, Mel Goodman?
Well, for me, and I guess maybe it's my interest being international affairs, but for him to say that, you know, we talked about this earlier about it's a false choice if we have to choose between our safety and stability and our ideals.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said ready to lead once more, that's as close as he could come, really, to totally repudiate everything Bush and Cheney have stood for over the past 8 years. So I think for me, when he said also that we're not going to give up our ideals just for the sake of expediency, I think it's so needed to be said, because that was Guantanamo, that was torture and abuse, that was secret prisons, that was Abu Ghraib. all of the things, warrantless eavesdropping, all of the things that went on over the past 8 years that should have drawn more of a reaction from the American people, more of a reaction from the Congress, from the print media in this country. And you think about what Bush and Cheney got away with, that Obama just will not permit. This is really a new day. It's not only Obama arriving, but it's that watching that Marine helicopter, which circled Washington, I guess, giving George his last look at what he's done to us, in a sense.
At our expense, yes.
At our expense, in our name. That maybe this will be over.
Yeah. Well, Mel, I'm out of time for this segment, but I thank you for your contributions. You've been speaking out tirelessly against the excesses of this administration. You and I have been talking for over 4 years now.
That's right.
And I just really appreciate what you've done. You have fought to regain our country, and we're on track. We're not there yet. We've got a lot more work to do.
We've got the right vector now, and I want to thank you for what you do and to allow people who have contrarian ideas to have a voice. You know, without that, you really don't have a democracy in this country, so yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, Mel Goodman, we'll talk soon. Stay warm.
Okay, good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
When lightning strikes, this is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It was in 2006 that I spent a half hour interviewing the man who is now the most famous person in the world.
You're 2 years into your term. They're already talking about you for president. They got you measuring the drapes for the Oval Office. How did they come to this?
You know, I am as puzzled as you are.
Puzzled. And yet he couldn't help noticing the way all eyes seemed to be turning his way wherever he went.
I think there's a hunger out there among voters for something different. Maybe for now, at least, I'm filling that gap.
Wow. Didn't exactly sound like a man with a fire in his belly, did he? Sounds like a man who's thinking, I guess it's my turn to be struck by lightning. A lot of people think that had it not been for the collapse of the banking system, Barack Obama would never have won. So this really isn't about race. It's about the economy. But that, too, came up in our conversation.
During my lifetime, then I would argue that the biggest problem we have in terms of at least black-white relations has to do with the continuing poverty in the inner city. And that if we saw more economic parity, that in fact you would see much better race relations than we have now.
You hear what he's saying. He's saying that the economy is the key to improving race relations. And 2 years and 2 months after he said that, he stands not only as the first minority president, but also the first president since FDR to inherit the responsibility for rebuilding a broken economy. Hey, just another day in the history of the United States of America. Now this.
All right, construction crews, everybody ready?
Ready in Chicago.
Montgomery.
Honolulu. Oh, who's in Honolulu?
It's Tim from Boston. I just got transferred to Hawaii. Wicked good weather they got here.
Buy one Motorola i576 phone for $69.99. Get up to four free with Sprint, the fastest national push-to-talk network. Call 1-800-NEXTEL-9. Only on the Now Network. Fastest based on initial call setup time. Offers for eligible business accounts only. See Sprint stores for availability. Ends 4/18/09. Subject to 2-year agreement. Up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit per line. Restrictions apply.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? investment, white picket fences. Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
There's more than one side to every issue. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights from 9 to 11, we examine issues from every angle on our show called A Different Perspective. Sometimes we have guests bring a viewpoint that isn't often heard elsewhere. Other times we'll discuss our different perspectives on the issue of the day. Either way, call in and give us your different perspective. Join us, Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart, on A Different Perspective. Thursday nights at 9, here on KRXA 540. From mom and dad, we're sticking through together, 'cause we don't know how.
And here on the Peter B. Collins Show, we do like to correct errors when we commit them. And last hour, we were talking with Robert Dreyfus about who got confirmed in the Senate today. And we learned that Senator Clinton was not confirmed in the mass confirmation vote because of John Cornyn, the senator from Texas. We had blamed it on David Vitter of Louisiana, and we were wrong. So, Senator Vitter, call your hooker for comfort, but at the moment, we do offer an insincere.
Thanks to you.
Our special progressive coverage of this historic inauguration of President Barack Obama is sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. They're on the web at IBEW.org. IBEW, ready for our green energy future. And we're ready for Jason Leopold. He joins us every week at this time. And he's the investigative reporter who publishes at the new nonprofit journalism site, The Public Record, their web address, pubrecord.org. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you? It's great to be with you today.
Well, I wanted to turn the tables on you for a minute here and just expose you as the father of a six-month-old boy. And I just wanted to ask you what your thoughts were today as a dad.
You know, it's funny because he was with me when we were watching this, and I felt it was really, you know, really important, even though he's 6 months old, probably will have no recollection of it. I'm hoping somehow it goes into his unconscious.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's important. It was important for me to, you know, it's history. It's, I wanted him to see, you know, this historic event, the possibilities that were out there. I mean, you know, there's no doubt that just seeing this, you know, sea of people was inspiring. And, you know, just feeling that, you get the feeling that, things will change for the better, where it will actually affect everyone, where we'll actually feel the, that sort of change, whether it's with health care or the environment. So, you know, I just wanted to, I wanted him to, you know, participate in that.
Yeah.
And just witness it. It's just unbelievable.
Well, and one of the things that parenthood forces upon us is that we have to look at things beyond our own selfish perspective.
Right, right, exactly. And you know, this is, like you said, my son is 6 months old, so, you know, this was a new experience for me as well, just, watching it with him. Watching it through two sets of eyes, I guess you could say, is, you know, on one hand, I'm watching it as a reporter. On the other hand, I am watching it as a parent and feel that, you know, as a parent, that, we're headed in a better direction, if that's the appropriate way to describe it of where we were headed before. And so it certainly gives me hope to be able to provide my son with things, such as affordable health care. That is a real issue. That we deal with right now.
Now, you wrote honestly about yourself and your life as a reporter in your memoir called News Junkie. Let me ask you how you approach this change of the guard, because you've been a very effective investigative reporter, challenging not only the Bush administration, but Democratic leaders as well. You don't pull any punches in that regard. But we do have a shift here where the government is nominally moving more in the direction, the philosophical direction that you and I favor.
Right. Right.
And yet, I think that many listeners and readers assume that we don't consciously think about that and adjust our approach in reference to that. And so I was articulating earlier today that I am jazzed, I'm overjoyed, the sense of relief is palpable, my sense of measured hope is real.
Yeah.
But I'm also a cynical, realistic guy who's seen politicians come and go and their promises delivered and evaporate.
Right.
And so there's a balance in there. And I view my role as a progressive in providing what I would describe as loving criticism of this new administration and the Democrats. I'm not a Democrat myself, and that surprises some people. I'm a registered non-aligned, what we call a declined estate voter in California. And so I root for the good part of the Democrats, and I am not afraid to smack them for the bad parts.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that.
I don't make a big shift, but I do think that listeners probably expect, okay, the big bad wolf is gone, therefore we're just going to celebrate with Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, yeah. And, I have to tell you, Peter, that this is, what the issue that you just raised is something that I've been thinking about quite a bit for the past, month or so. I mean, first of all, I've spent 8 years, literally, from the day that Bush arrived at the White House, being critical, covering an administration from a critical perspective, and as a journalist, one of the great things about the Bush administration is that there was no shortage of things to write about. Certainly, there were plenty of scandals. But here you have now an administration, you have a president who is loved, he attracted more than 2 million people today. But, I think it should go without saying that as a journalist, we're not going to I'm certainly not going to cover this administration any differently than I did the Bush administration. I'm going to be just as aggressive and just as critical when need be. It's really important to, because we're looking at a historic moment today, the first African American president, there were many firsts that took place today. But at the end of the day, these are politicians, and they really go out there and say that they're representing the people. But look, that's by and large not the case many times. I mean, Democrats are just as guilty aligning themselves with lobbyists as the Republicans are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, for me, one of the first things that I'm, looking at right now is what are the policies that are going to, be put forth. And I think that, it should go without saying, Peter, that as a journalist, you should, cover this or cover Washington politics, if that's, that's what I'm covering, with the same aggressiveness, as you would, the last administration. But let's not forget what, during the first 6 months of the Bush administration and, 9/11 happened, and right after that, these reporters were in lockstep with everything, with what George W. and they reported everything that came out of that White House as fact. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason that that could not happen under, you know, a Democratic administration. So I think it's really important to, you know, celebrate this moment, but realize that, you know, there is a lot of work to be done, and there is plenty of room for criticism. And you know, I think that with the increase in the past 8 years of online media, what we've seen is that, you know, is that progressive media, if that's what you want to call it, and have become so aligned, so in a sense in the pocket of the Democrats or progressive lawmakers. There has not, there are only a handful, Peter, of you know, media that actually keeps that distance. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not friendly with any of these, you know, Democratic lawmakers, and I don't worry that, you know, I'm going to lose access if I report critically. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, media and politics, or progressive politics, you know, have become so closely, you know, are so intertwined right now that I think what you're going to wind up seeing is a lot of, you know, a lot of stories not being reported by the independent media, mm-hmm, because they don't want to offend.
Yeah, it's going.
And I really, really believe that is what's going to take place.
It's going to be very interesting. And just yesterday, from Radio Row, I was interviewing a congressman from New Jersey, Pascrell. Bill Pascrell is on the Ways and Means Committee. And I think he was expecting a lot of softballs, you know, how are we going to fix this country and isn't this great? And I said, your chairman has a cloud. Charlie Rangel has three different ethical challenges that are being investigated, and I think he should step aside. And Pascrell was, he acknowledged the appearance, but he was a team player and said, oh, well, Charlie's too valuable, and we'll just have to wait and see. And the Ethics Committee, which you and I know is nonsense, is looking into it. Well, you know, this is a challenge to us, but I'm not going to back down. Charlie Rangel appears to be as compromised as Tom DeLay was. And, you know, we can't just make excuses for him because he's a liberal Democrat who delivers pork for other liberal Democrats.
Right, exactly. And that's the attitude right now that, you know, persists throughout the, certainly on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are some who have been critical. Even some, you know, so-called progressive groups, I believe Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington has been, mm-hmm, you know, critical. But, you know, if we are going to have a, you know, a media that is independent, which is what I think we're all striving for, then, you know, we've got to keep that distance.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been seeing, you know, more and more how, you know, media has become very closely, you know, too close for comfort with, you know, with people that are, you know, that are either progressive or Republican even.
Well, and Jason, what we have, unfortunately, is a bad model on the right, where you have,
exactly,
you know, echo chambers like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and activists like Fox News. And the Democrats say, well, I want to get me one of those, too. And they look to people like me and say, well, give me an echo chamber. Don't give me criticism.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's not what you get here.
Right.
Well, Jason, I've got a break here.
Sure.
And we'll talk to you again next week in our usual extended version.
I look forward to it.
I want to direct people to pubrecord.org because you've got the great report on Nancy Pelosi's shift. Now she's calling for investigations of the Justice Department under Bush. And this is an interesting breakthrough.
And Peter, let me just leave you with one little bit. There's going to be the vote tomorrow. Harry Reid reached an agreement with the Senate to vote on Hillary Clinton's nomination tomorrow at 4:30.
Okay.
So that just broke a little while ago.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Always a pleasure talking with you. That's Jason Leopold. Again, pubrecord.org is the website. More straight ahead here. Our inaugural special continues on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We have a traffic hazard on the northbound 1, just north of Highway 218. In lane number 2, there are two work ladders in the road. And on Highway 68, just east of the 1, there is a two-vehicle collision, so use caution there. In weather, it's partly sunny this afternoon, with highs in the mid-70s to low 60s across the Central Coast and the Inland Valley. Wednesday will be cooler with temps in the 60s, and there is a possibility of some rain in the afternoon. Well, that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon, everybody, and stay with the Peter B. Cullen Show.
Hello, everybody. This is R.J. Moyer. Join me Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. for Sports Phone KRXA. Now all of us Monday morning quarterbacks can get together Sunday nights and talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, hockey, softball, volleyball, kickball, bocce ball, bowling, rugby, lacrosse. Well, maybe we won't talk about rugby and lacrosse, but join me anyway for Sports Phone KRXA, Sunday nights from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m.
Hi, this is Hal, and you're listening to KRXA 540. Just wanted to let you know about some of our recent schedule changes. First of all, we are playing basketball from Cal State Monterey Bay and Cal Berkeley this year. So if your favorite program is interrupted, we apologize, but you can catch all of our talk shows in full on the internet at their regularly scheduled times at KRXA540.com. In addition, we are now playing Ed Schultz live from 10 to noon. We play the first hour of Ed 8 to 9 p.m., and we play the entire Tom Hartman show 9 to midnight, Monday through Friday, with the exception of Thursday, when we start Tom Hartman's show at 11 in the evening and run it through 2 in the morning. Thank you so much for listening to KRXA 540 and on the internet at KRXA540.com.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Politicians may come and go, but for the past 35 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry right here in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings, and because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's offices are conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
It's the Peter B. Cullen Show.
Stand for a leader.
We found one.
To bring our country home. Being at the red, white, and blue. Before it turns to stone. Looking for somebody. Clean up the corruption and make the country strong. Walking among our people, there's someone straight and strong to lead it from desolation in a broken world gone wrong.
Prophetic words from the Bard of the Santa Cruz Mountains. He's a Canadian expat. That's Neil Young. And he wrote that back in 2004. In fact, it was Brad Friedman of bradblog.com who first turned me on to that CD, Living with War. And there he said it, maybe it's a woman or a black man after all. And we broke through that barrier. Barack Obama inaugurated today in Washington. Johnny Steele returns to our program. He's been on with us a couple of times today offering his color commentary. And I'm going to be joining Johnny in San Francisco at Yoshi's tonight for the big inaugural celebration held by our affiliate Green 960 in San Francisco. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Peter, it might be a little hard to hear you. I am at Yoshi's now, and it is already cuckoo. There might be 100 people out the door into the street, and the mood is kooky and festive already.
Oh, great. Well, I'm looking forward. I'll be rolling in there around 7 or 7:30, so make sure they don't run out of booze, will you?
All right, I'll make sure of that, and I'll try to get you a parking space outside somewhere.
Oh, that'd be nice, yeah. And also, my buddy Jay Thompson, the smooth jazz artist, is going to be performing at this Green 960 inaugural ball, so it's going to be a lot of fun with friends tonight.
Absolutely. I saw him on the bill, but I couldn't even get in the door because there's fans of yours and fans of mine and fans of Obama all over the place, and they're waving and grabbing you and pulling you this way, and people are hugging each other. It's quite a change over the last 8 years.
Yeah, that's tough duty, isn't it? All that love oozing out everywhere.
Yeah, ooze and love and ooze and booze, I think, somewhere. I just haven't gotten inside yet. Maybe ooze and oozo. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, do you have any fresh observations since the last time we chatted, Johnny?
No, I've been running around. Haven't been able to watch enough, but I just, just what I saw this morning, I watched up until the time he got himself up into the White House and the kids were waving and they got out of the car and walked. And I tell you, the mood, the vibe, the feel from when those troglodytes hopped on that helicopter, they probably called it the fancy flying machine, and got it. The helicopter barely got off the ground because I think they had silverware in their pants and gold bags. And they got it. Fortunately, they snuck Cheney out the back door in a wheelchair. I think it was sympathy. They said he hurt himself moving or something like that. I think they put him in a wheelchair so people wouldn't attack him.
Well, you know, we called Dick Cheney's cell phone, and somebody who sounds just like him answered. And we had an interesting chat. He says that's a nuclear-powered wheelchair, and watch out.
I can have a conversation with Cheney. He just grunts and mumbles. I think he sounds a little bit like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino. It's just, we're going to be in the White House today. He just grumbles like a cartoon dog.
Yeah, it's true. He gives monotone a new definition.
Monotone, and looking, I mean, if you studied, and I'm sure you have, communication or interpersonal communication, the guy just defied all. He just would look down at the ground and barely look up at you over right under his eyebrows and just sort of a,
Jerry Collins, problem is we're going to not be doing the radio show today.
Just kind of a crispy, freaky guy. They kept him sequestered wisely through most of the last 8 years, although for us it was no good because he was running his evil empire from the basement down there.
Well, and I asked him, he dodged the question, but you remember when he went into the White House, he had been the CEO of Halliburton, and of course he ran the committee to find the vice president and picked himself.
Yeah.
And he said that the huge pile of stock options that he'd gotten from Halliburton, which, by the way, have become even more valuable because of the war profiteering and the no-bid contracts that were given to Halliburton,
yeah.
He said that he would give them to charity. And I'm still waiting for the announcement from that delighted recipient of, I believe it's somewhere north of $25 million, and I haven't seen a word about whether that promise was kept and whether those stock options were actually donated to a nonprofit.
Well, I'll tell you what, because of what those guys did to the economy and the current state of my 401k, I might qualify as a nonprofit. So if you get to the bottom of this, please give him my phone number in Berkeley.
Well,
we could arrange something.
Johnny, how about if you and I form a bank? Because it appears that only banks are getting bailouts. And you and I could, form a little bank and call the Fed and say, hi, we need a bailout.
And from what I read and what I see myself, they're actually not, they're doing it in an effort to not lend the money out foolishly this time around. They're simply not lending it at all. That's a new philosophy they have, apparently.
Well, many of them, I read a piece the other day, this one banker who got $134 million from the Fed said, now we're going to be able to pay out our bonuses and we're in a great position if we want to acquire another bank. They're not planning to loan that money. They're just planning to use it for self-interest.
wasn't it Truman? Truman, I think, right at the end of World War II, I may be wrong, I thought had some hearings on contracts and gouging and where things had gone. And hopefully Barack will set some of this up and then move forward. There's just malfeasance and theft going on that makes the mafia look like the Girl Scouts, for heaven's sake.
Yeah. Well, it will be very interesting to see what kind of investigations we get and where it all will take us. I want full disclosure, and I don't really care if Cheney goes to jail. I really just want him to confront the wrongdoing that he's responsible for and have that exposed. And from that, we can learn for the future and try to avoid these kind of power grabs. Well, John...
Well, I'm not so kind as you about Cheney not going to jail. I think they should dangle him from a street pole and we can line up and whack him with sticks like they did to Mussolini, for heaven's sake. I don't know if that's legal to say that. He's no longer the president or vice president. I think I can say that legally.
Yeah, and he can't send you to Guantanamo, at least not that we know.
No, he can't. I think that's done, so...
All right. Well, Johnny, I've got one more hour, and then I'm heading over your way to Yoshi's. And just one more question. What are people wearing? I don't know
what are people wearing?
How formal is this event tonight?
It's mid-level. You know, it's us liberals, so we never really dress up much. There's some sports coats and some slacks, but I think you leave the ball cap and jeans at home, you'll be fine.
If I actually wear a tie, will I be the only one?
There are not a lot of ties that I can see in the crowd right now. No,
right.
I wouldn't bother with a tie. I think I see my wife is yelling. What are they wearing here? A lot of Obama t-shirts, Allison.
I see. Okay. Well, mine's in the laundry. Sorry.
All right,
Johnny. I'll see you in a couple hours. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Johnny Steele joining us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We've got more commentary on this inauguration coming up right after the top of the hour. I want to thank Katrina Rill for a fabulous broadcast today. She's been working really hard, and she's responsible for the success of this program. Doctors have the American Medical Association. Corporations have their Chamber of Commerce. Lawyers have the American Bar Association. What do the working men and women of America have? Their unions. Unions allow individuals to band together so we can bargain as a united group with powerful employers for fair wages and decent health and pension benefits, using the same right to freedom of association and collective action that all other groups do. The rights of working people have been under assault, especially in the last 8 years. President Obama's inauguration marks a new era for workers. His new labor secretary, Hilda Solis, has actually worked union jobs, and President Obama has promised to sign the Employee Free Choice Act so America's workers get the full benefit of their rights. The men and women of IBEW invite you to join us in passing the Employee Free Choice Act. Find out more at IBEW.org. A message from the International Brotherhood of Electric.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. They're playing Hail to the Chief for Barack Obama now. The nation's first black president was sworn in about 8 hours ago.
This is unreal. This is unbelievable.
Georgia Congressman John Lewis is a veteran of the civil rights movement.
As he stood and was sworn in, I shed some tears today. It was tears of joy, tears of happiness.
Few presidents have confronted so many major problems on their inauguration day. Mr. Obama vowed the challenges will be met.
On this day, we gather because we have chosen hope over fear, unity of purpose over conflict and discord. On this day, we come to proclaim an end to the petty grievances and false promises, the recriminations and worn-out dogmas that for far too long have strangled our politics.
I'm Steve Kathan on the National Mall, where close to 2 million people bundled in the cold watching history.
Yeah, I really wasn't going to come out here today, but got calls from my friends that couldn't make it here, and they said you need to go out there and, you know, just be a supporter.
A day of flag-waving emotion.
I am so proud.
Many say they leave here with new hope for the nation.
Despite the size of the crowd, D.C. and National Park Service police report no arrests related to the inaugural, but about 30 children got separated from their families. President Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, and their wives reviewed the inaugural parade from a stand in front of the White House after walking part of the route themselves. Now the Obamas are off on a whirlwind of 10 inaugural balls. There was a somber moment at the inaugural luncheon on Capitol Hill when Senator Ted Kennedy suffered a seizure and had to be rushed to the hospital.
Right now, a part of me is with him.
This is Dan Revive. A statement from the chief of neurosurgery at Washington Hospital Center says Senator Kennedy is spending the night there for observation. Kennedy, who's 76, has been battling brain cancer. The statement says he suffered a seizure brought on by fatigue. He's feeling good, talking with family and friends. Kennedy had been seen smiling and chatting at the inauguration ceremony and then the congressional lunch, which was interrupted when EMS personnel, then an ambulance, took him away.
No inauguration rally on Wall Street. The Dow dropped 332 points to 7949. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
Wall Street is very much grounded in reality, and the reality right now is bleak. Fourth quarter earnings are an absolute disaster. The numbers are poor, and companies are providing either no guidance or negative guidance going forward. Earnings are currently on track to have fallen 20% in the fourth quarter from a year earlier.
After the market closed, IBM predicted significantly higher profits this year. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I design and sell my very own line of baby clothes. When I started my business, I knew how to make the baby clothes, but I didn't really know the business side of things. And it became very clear that I needed help. So I'd heard about Intuit QuickBooks, you know, that small business software, and thought, that's just what I need. Then I saw I could try it for free, and you know what? It's been great, totally easy to use, and it's helped me avoid a lot of growing pains.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Hi, I'm the owner of an auto body shop, and since we added Aflac to our benefits package at no direct cost to me, all my employees say the same thing. I want
Aflac.
Since we added Aflac, my whole business is running smooth.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
In addition to the economy, the new president has many foreign policy challenges, including the volatile Middle East.
I'm Cammy McCormick near the Gaza border. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said he was shocked by what he saw in Gaza today, only a fraction of the destruction, he said. He called the devastation heartbreaking and urged both sides to make the ceasefire durable. The tensions between Israel and Hamas will likely be at the top of President Obama's foreign policy agenda, at least in the near term, with this truce so fragile. Mr. Obama will also have Iraq and Afghanistan to deal with and the increasing militant problem along Pakistan's border.
John McCain's portrait will never hang with the president's, but he was enshrined today at the First State Bank in Norton, Kansas. He was added to the gallery of also-rans that was started in 1965 by a bank president who decided that losers deserve some credit. The walls are filled with men who ran for president but didn't make it. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny. Money in, money out, so I always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Can you say Hussein? We continue our special progressive coverage of the historic inauguration of President Barack Hussein Obama, sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers at IBEW.org. Podcast.
Nothing yet.
Baby.
Baby, you just ain't nothing yet. There's something that you'll never forget. Baby, you just ain't nothing yet.
Yes, we haven't even seen day one of the Obama administration. We ain't seen nothing yet. But already it feels like a huge burden has been lifted off our shoulders. The image of Bush flying out of Washington in that helicopter is one to savor as the green speck got smaller and smaller and smaller. He's gone. Ah, such a relief. Tim Carpenter has been waiting for this day for a long time. He is the National Director of Progressive Democrats of America, pdamerica.org, and a guy who we solidly support. Tim, how you doing today?
Peter, thank you. Well, like you and everybody around the country is celebrating. It looks like we've survived. He's out of Washington, D.C. The Bush administration has come to an end. There's a lot to be celebrating. And as you said, we wait now with bated breath to see what's next, where the other shoe drops. But right now, I slipped out of D.C. earlier today to get ahead of everybody and had a wonderful night last night at Busboys and Poets. A lot to celebrate. A lot of work ahead of us, needless to say. But as you began the program tonight, a lot to celebrate. We have survived the Bush-Cheney administration. We can't say the same for the millions who lost their lives in Iraq or the 4,000-plus casualties of our military that have been lost. And but we have ended the Bush-Cheney administration, and now we have a lot of accountability, hopefully, to get on with.
Well, and what you just mentioned there is really the start of an accounting. But when you look at the damage that was done, just in human terms, just the cost to American families of the tax cuts that didn't trickle down to us while our health care costs increase, of the carnage and the expense of the war in Iraq that was treated in Enron-style accounting to kind of cook the books and leave us actually much worse off than it appeared year to year, and the true cost to American families is one that we're going to be paying off and digging out from for the next 15 or 20 years. And, Tim, I don't know about you, but just based on the decline in my little bitty retirement account, I'm probably going to have to work an extra 10 years to...
Well, you'll be podcasting into your 80s.
Yeah, to recover from the damage that Bush did just in the last 6 months.
And you never mentioned Katrina or the Upper Ninth Ward today. What's going on with the residents of New Orleans and the Gulf region? No,
yeah.
It's horrific, and I don't think since Franklin Pierce we've seen a president that will go down in history or Harding for one of the worst presidents in American history. He stole it twice, and he just about took the country down with him.
Yeah. So you and I have talked a number of times, and I think we're in a similar space where we are able to process hope and reality in the same brain space.
And we have to.
Yeah.
We have to.
And so I was inspired by the president's speech today. I was delighted to hear the rather facile way that he rejected most of the philosophical points of the neocons and the Bush administration by asserting his own views and philosophy, which are essentially diametrically opposed to what we've been living under.
Well, like you, Peter, I'm hopeful. I'm getting ready to sit down in front of C-SPAN. I taped it while I was on the air tonight. I read transcripts. I've talked to friends that were on the mall today who told me, and we gathered last night following a two-day conference in Washington, D.C., we being Progressive Democrats of America. We had a two-day meeting on Sunday and Monday, that concluded on Monday, but the celebration of Best Boys and Poets began on Saturday. And we had deep, meaningful conversation just as we did in Denver on what are the next steps. And at the same time, how do we celebrate, at the same time, challenge this president? How do we push him to be a better president? And how, at the same time, do we embrace him to be the president we want him to be? So it was a very spirited discussion. We ended the gathering with John Nichols from The Nation magazine, Bill Fletcher, who you know from Black Commentator, and then
sure.
Finally Steve Cobble, our political director at PDA, and then finally Medea Benjamin joined us at the very end. So it was a very stirring ending of a two-day conference in which over 140 activists, even more than gathered in Denver, self-funded, got to D.C. and really talked about what we can do congressional district by congressional district to begin the process now to elect even more progressive congressmen. We had Eric Mousey, who we elected from New York 29, who was with us, Jim McGovern, Congressman Conyers, who were all there. So we had a great 2 days as far as you've challenged us, Peter, as we begin this hour to celebrate and at the same time remain cautiously optimistic, and then more importantly, how do we align our progressive forces to ensure that Barack does those things we want him to do, shut down Gitmo, get on with a single-payer health care. As you said, we distributed 250,000 leaflets in a 72-hour period all over the mall and all through Maryland and Virginia to remind folks that this is the president that's going to finally bring us the hope and the dream of Harry Truman of single-payer health care. So like you, Peter, we celebrate. We thought the speech was stirring. Somebody who's a historian, I'm sure like yourself, when he ends with the Winter Soldier and talks about those things and in the bitter cold of where we are, and goes back all the way to Washington and talks about when our nation was in peril and how we turned it around, we pretty much find ourselves in that same spot.
Well, Tim, I came up with a metaphor that I'd like to share with you for what I see as the role of progressives with this Obama administration. I see that we were the early supporters who made it possible for him to win in Iowa and go forward in a challenging primary against the expected nominee, Hillary Rodham Clinton. And so I believe that we have a special role. And the way I describe it, because I'm a sailor, is like a tractor tug. These are the new generations of tugboats that have swiveling propellers. And what it means is the tugboat comes up against the big ship that it's going to guide into harbor or guide out to the sea. And it can turn in any direction. It stays tethered to the mothership. But when it's time to shift course, the tractor tug adjusts its propellers. And that's what I want to do, is I want to lash us to the Barack Obama administration and the Democratic leadership. And I want to use the power of our tractor tug to change course and shift to the left so that we can recover the values, the principles, and the policies that we struggled for generations and that were eviscerated in a short 8 years.
Well, it's a very good analogy, Peter. Last night, as I said, we gathered at Bus Boys and Poets. Tom Hayden was with us and talked very much about having a 7-year-old African-American son and the joy and pride he felt in that. Jim McGovern, Congressman, despite what happened in Iraq and what we face now with the shredding of the Constitution, how hopeful we do remain in our role will be to keep it on course, to keep the Barack Obama administration, as you said, to get those wind sails blowing, to move it in the right direction. And we ended our celebration, just as Pete Seeger gathered with Bruce Springsteen with a musical tribute, we ended with Peter Yarrow, Peter Paul and Mary, who took us back through all the civil rights songs there at the end and reminded everybody what it was like in 1961 when folks gathered on the Mall for Martin Luther King, and there we were on his birthday, and we were swearing in an African-American president today. So we got to get those winds blowing. We've got to keep Barack moving in the right direction. We need to remind him that millions of Americans across this country very much want to get on with the work of single payer. We want Gitmo closed down. We really do want guaranteed health care for all. And I believe, as you said, if we can really get those turbines blowing, the progressive community can continue in the work that we've done since the election to remind folks of these, and the Congress members who have been sworn in the last week, do what we hope they will do, and then we get on with the work tonight, Peter, of electing even more progressive Congress members. I think Barack will be not only a good president his first term, but an even better president when we get him reelected.
Yeah. Well, and this is the other thing. We were talking to Jim Dean earlier today at Democracy for America, and while we don't want to replicate the arrogance of the Republicans and imagine that we're going to rule for 20 years, we do want to plan for more than 4 years, and we also need to plan for the critical midterm elections just less than 2 years away, because we saw that Bill Clinton won in 92, but never had majorities on the Hill from 94 on after the Gingrich Revolution. And we have to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
No, very much so, Peter. And to underscore that and what Jim said, PDA and DFA need to work together. We have potential candidates for the 2010 cycle gathered this weekend with us. We're beginning that work right now. We're not going to wait 7 or 8 weeks before the elections in 2010. Bill Hedrick, who should have won in conservative Orange County, progressive, who almost beat Calvert, was with us. Other candidates are exploring the possibility. We as a progressive movement have to identify those folks. We've got to increase the number of what we call the Congressional Progressive Caucus. There's 72 members tonight as we gather. We need to get a majority of progressive Democrats. And as we've learned, Peter, 2 years ago, it didn't matter that the Democrats won, and it certainly isn't going to make a difference this time that Barack won until we elect a progressive Democratic majority. So while we aren't going to accomplish it in 2 or 4 years, we're in a 20, 30-year protracted struggle to do just that, to elect those progressive Democrats. And you and I are certainly in rhythm with that. And you know, we want to celebrate tonight. We want to take these next 4 or 5 hours to recap that speech and then get on with the real hard work tomorrow, get some rest, get 4 or 5 hours sleep, and then hit the precincts and get to work.
Now, Tim, earlier today I was talking to Bob Creamer, the Chicago political strategist who's married to Jan Schakowsky, a great progressive congresswoman.
Yep.
And he said that he's heard that there it came out of a chat about Rahm Emanuel. And I said, well, you know, it's a mixed bag. And Emanuel, is, when he headed the DCCC, blocked a number of grassroots progressives in favor of self-funded conservative Democrats. And Creamer understood that. And he said, well, I've heard that there is a group that's forming a political action committee specifically to elect progressives. Do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, there seems to be an option. I'm sorry, I don't have the name in front of me. But, you know, again, I challenge those folks that are gathering this new consortium of political, really hired guns, to be honest with you. These are folks that used to work for Move On, are now going to do what the right wing always did to come in to help those candidates win and do those traditional things. I don't think we need another ad agency or another formation of those people that do what we're already doing. We need a movement, and I believe the PDA reflects that. We need a movement that's reflected in the communities across this country that grows candidates and elects candidates that come out of the grassroots and come out of those districts. I believe what he's describing to you is really an action or an ad agency, in all honesty, that's going to be a group of progressive thinkers that are going to do just what the right wing did, and that is help tailor messages and do slate mailings and do the traditional thing for progressive candidates. It's not really what we within Progressive Democrats of America would like to see the trend towards. We want to see the trend towards more grassroots chapters, 435 districts around this country, grooming and growing candidates that are indigenous to their own communities, working cooperatively with the progressive community to get elected to go to Washington and connect Washington with the local grassroots. We don't need another team of thinkers to do, quote-unquote, the right thing and get the right slate mailing.
Gotcha. Tim, thank you very much for your work. Get some rest. And
Peter, as always, thanks so much.
4 hours max, okay?
We got it, buddy. Thank you. Thanks so much, Peter.
Coming up next, John Vasconcellos. He retired a few years ago as the dean of the California legislature. He's a real progressive. We'll get his reaction to today's events. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibration.
Tools for Transformation
is being preempted by sports programming this month.
We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the internet, so tune in. Good Vibration.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Good
evening, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now, we have a pedestrian in the roadway on San Miguel Canyon Road at southbound 101. Please use caution there. The person is walking towards the freeway. We also have a traffic hazard on Guadalupe Street at Portola Road. There's some paint cans in the road, so use caution there as well. And weather, expect some cooler temperatures and clouds to start moving in this evening. We're going to have low temperatures in the 40s tonight. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy and cool in the morning, and then we may experience some rain in the afternoon. Well, that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great evening, everyone, and enjoy your commute. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
Our Inauguration Day special continues on the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast and live in Boston on AM 1510 WWZN. And Boston host Jeff Santos, we hope to hear from in the next 20 or 30 minutes. He is attending some of the inaugural balls in Washington tonight, and we'll get a live report. Also, Stephen Zunis is going to check in from the Peace Ball, and that's coming up in the next half hour as well. Joining me now from Maui, where he is retired, is State Senator John Vasconcellos. He served here in California, I think, 28 years in the Assembly and then 8 years in the State Senate, and he retired as the Dean of that body. John Vasconcellos, in my view, is a true Democratic progressive who has argued for the politics of trust. He took a lot of heat for promoting self-esteem in human beings as the core of good people, and when it's not there, it's at the core of bad behavior. John, welcome to our program today.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for inviting me.
Senator, tell me your thoughts about the change of the guard in Washington today and what it means for the progressive values that you have fought so hard for all your life.
Well, I think it's even broader. I think it's what it means for the values of all of us as Americans. Progressive values are fine, but there are also some pretty conservative values that were voiced by the new president, our new president, responsibility and assuredness in terms of how we deal with the threats around the world. Seems to me that we got a president now who has a lot of self-confidence, who trusts people basically, and doesn't operate out of fear, and it couldn't have been a more profound market turnaround presidencies than occurred today in Washington.
Yeah. And I was really pleased by, we've been focusing on this quite a bit, there was one phrase in there where he rejected the false choice between security and liberty.
Absolutely.
And I think that those false choices were really at the core of the manipulation that the Bush administration used time and again on political leaders in Washington and the American public in general.
Right. There's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Likewise, my sociology prof at Stanford University 50 years ago said that, security comes first. We aren't secure and we're not going to be here. We have to start with that, but we shouldn't forsake freedom in order to have security. We don't need to do that. If you put everything in security, and freedom be damned, then you get, we'll get the last 8 years, which is a world run amok and nobody's safer at all.
What are your hopes for this new administration, John?
Well, That it remains transparent, remains available, remains open-minded and curious. He carries a sense of people's goodness that he can appeal to, whether it's fellow Americans or Muslims or gays or blacks or women, that we are all human with a human nature that deserves to be recognized, appreciated, and encouraged and inspired, rather than being manipulated and frightened and controlled by people who are after their own base, themselves.
Yeah. And what about on a policy level? What would you like to see him achieve in the first term?
Turn around the economy. Help us turn around the economy. Help turn the world away from the war and divisions toward a sense of collaboration and interdependence. That's foreign and domestic. And then begin to reinstate the human values and the social values that are part of America's heritage about education, health care for all, housing, and recognition of the differences of race, and yet not that they're necessarily separatist divisions. Every American has a right to opportunity, to food, shelter, housing, and education, and an encouragement to do the best with what he or she comes with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the president has spoken in his race speech on racism, 8 months ago, and today, again, clearly that this is a country, a nation of immigrants, of diversity, of hopefulness, and of trust.
Yeah. And, John, just a minute remaining here before my break. What are your thoughts about the current mess in Sacramento?
It's frightening, and I think it's not been very well reported to the public by the media in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And the public has little idea how desperate the situation is and who is to be held accountable for the threat that Calvary might really collapse in the next 6 weeks.
Well, these no-tax extremists are using minority rule to really jam this through, and the state is teetering on the brink of bankruptcy.
That's true, and the state cannot legally go into bankruptcy, but the minority rule is hardly an American patriotic way, and the public got to stand up and say, a gang of eight in one house can't rule 40 million people's lives and futures by their own commitment to whatever it might be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope we see a breakthrough, and maybe the mood in Washington. I was talking to Garamendi, John Garamendi, earlier today, and asked him to bottle that, bring it back to Sacramento, and see if we can make some progress, because the clock is running, and we really need to resolve this quickly.
Of course.
Well, John, I want to thank you for talking with us today, and I just wanted to thank you for the years of service that you offered and the vision that you offered, some of which we're seeing the fruition of in the near future.
And we're still at it, Peter, with our Fathers of Trust and Obama's Fathers of Hope. We're within 2 degrees of separation, hopefully come together and help the state and nation turn around and all of us feel better about ourselves and each other.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Space, the final frontier. Knowing the truth, the ultimate frontier. Quantum Leap and
KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Hop on, baby. Wear a helmet and hold on tight. We're taking a wild ride into the future. Our special progressive coverage of this historic inauguration day of President Barack Hussein Obama is sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Their website is IBEW.org. IBEW is ready for our green energy future. In the process of wrapping up 9 or is it 10 hours of live broadcast today. I've lost track, and who cares? But my intrepid producer, Katrina Rill, is dialing her fingers, trying to reach some of our correspondents in Washington at the inaugural balls. Stephen Zunis, the professor of politics from the University of San Francisco, is attending the Peace Ball. And Jeff Santos, our colleague who hosts the morning show in Boston on WWZN AM 1510, he's there, and he's trying to get into the Western Ball. Is that what I heard? We'll see what their standards are. Anyway, that's where we are right now. And what does that number 8 there mean, Katrina?
8 hours.
Oh, 8 hours. I see. She's been keeping track better than I have. Here is Tom in Aptos calling the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you very much, Peter. A name that needs to be mentioned today is a gentleman that used to be on that Santa Cruz station, which is diametrically opposed to yours.
Yeah.
Ted Jefferson, who got bounced off there, a black man who spoke from his heart, who was hounded by the KKK in the South, and just a hell of a person, died about 3 years ago, and I can't help but think of him today.
Okay. Well, I did not know him, but I thank you for mentioning him. There have been a lot of great people in the radio business who never really got their due. So,
if you talk to Billy Sunshine will
sure.
know him.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, thank you for all that you've done getting us to here, because it took you and a whole lot of other people saying the emperor has no clothes.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. It is gratifying. After all of the hours that I've been behind this microphone yakking, that the source of my irritation, at least for now, is gone. And we're going to have a very interesting future here. As you've heard me talk about, I go in with my eyes open. Yes, my hope is enhanced. And at the same time, my realism is very active. And so if you continue listening to this program, you're going to hear both of those emotions.
Every night.
Oh, yep, every day.
God bless.
Okay, Tom, thank you for the call. And my lines are open here for the rest of the program, so if you'd like to comment on what you observed on television or wherever you happen to be today, maybe in interaction with coworkers or fellow students, it's wide open. Anything that you'd like to offer is welcome here. And you know my toll-free number. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And along the way in this final half hour, we do hope to talk to Jeff Santos and also to Stephen. Stephen Zunis, who are attending the balls in the Capitol tonight, and that's what we'll do for the remainder of the program. 888-5-PETER-B, that's 888-573-8372. Now, one of the things that we've commented on today, and in case you missed it, the oath of office was administered to the new president by the Supreme Court Justice John Roberts. And we were talking earlier today with Stephen Hill about this exchange because Mr. Smooth, Barack Obama, was chomping at the bit to take this oath of office. I mean, after all, he's been running hard for 2 years, and this is the moment that he's been waiting for. But I'd like you to listen to this excerpt as Roberts administers the oath of office. And first of all, Obama jumps in too early on the first line, maybe in response to hearing his middle name spoken out loud. That doesn't happen very often. And then the Chief Justice fumbled the order of the verbiage in the oath of office. And somehow they both made it through, so help you God.
Take the oath, Senator.
I am.
I, Barack Hussein Obama,
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear
that I will execute the office of President to the United States faithfully.
That I will execute.
And interesting in there, Robert says office to the President of the United States. I think of was the preposition he was looking for. Let's listen to that again.
Execute the office of President to the United States faithfully.
President to the United States.
Faithfully.
And will to the best of my ability.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
So a real human moment in a highly scripted event. And, well, that one will go down in history because it was really interesting to hear both of them kind of fumble their lines there. And you have to imagine they practiced at least once. Jeff Santos joins us now. He's ball hopping in Washington, D.C. How's it going, Jeff?
Well, with all the beautiful people here in the California and Western ball, I wanted to make you guys feel at home.
Well,
so I decided to go west instead of east, Peter B.
Well, good. And what's the venue? And describe it for us.
Well, it's the Washington Convention Center, and there's a lot of black. no, it's a very festive event. It was kind of crazy getting in here because they have many of the balls in downtown Washington, the new convention center. That's a beautiful location, but they have, I think, five or six of them in Western events, the Western ball. I think there's a young person's ball here. There's three or four of them, and it's creating a lot of chaos. One person going to this side of the street, another one going to the other one. So there's that kind of stuff. But there, people are very entertaining. The food seems to be pretty good so far.
Yeah, good.
A little tortellini, so, you know, we're keeping the San Francisco treat going. But it's a fun night. I mean, a lot of people here are, you know, going to take this as a excuse to party until 5 a.m., there are others who are going to be more conservative, like myself, because I've been up since 4:30 a.m. but anyways, we're going to have some fun, and we hope the people listening to us online at your at 1510 The Zone and your website and revolutionboston.com can listen live and can come on down if you're in Washington or Virginia. I will say this: there's always a lot of police around us, so you're gonna have to wait in line. You're gonna have to park your car, or as they say in Boston, park your car.
Park it.
Quite a ways away.
A wicked distance, yeah.
There you go. Wicked awesome, Peter.
And how is security? And what did you have to do to get an invite to this ball?
Well, I gave away my firstborn. No, basically we. We had tried to get both the East and West Ball, and one of our colleagues is actually at the East Coast Ball, because he basically gave away his left foot, and you know, so he's hopping on one to get over there. It's been very, very competitive. I heard this morning for all our Boston listeners, Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. Garnett, by the way, had asked the NBA to have him wear special sneakers in favor of Obama during the election. And those two world champion Boston Celtics got turned down for tickets yesterday at one of the senator's office in Massachusetts. So go figure. Even celebrities are getting turned down to go to some of these events.
Ouch.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how I got in.
Well, tell me what the mood is, too, among your friends from Massachusetts with the news that Senator Kennedy had a minor seizure at the luncheon today. All accounts are he's resting comfortably at a hospital in Washington.
Yeah, I was actually, ironically, actually running down the hall to go to Senator Kerry had an open house event today. And I was going down the third floor on my way to the second floor, and a couple of Kennedy aides were running in kind of a crazy state. I knew something was going on, but I didn't know what it was. And then as I walked out to a side entrance to watch the parade begin, someone told me of the illness and the sickness, and that Chris Dodd apparently went with him to the ambulance. And then Dodd has come out and said that, you know, Ted Kennedy didn't want to leave. And he was conscious in the ambulance, and he basically was ready to come back, but the paramedics wanted him to go and obviously be tested out of the hospital. But I think the initial reports were a lot scarier than it is. And from what I'm understanding, a lot of the cancer is gone, but these seizures are things that they have to basically deal with as he spends more time in Washington on, ironically, issues of health care.
Yeah. Well, and Jeff, it is such a memory I probably will never forget, and at this point it's quite prominent in August in Denver at the Democratic Convention, when Ted Kennedy gave a speech, and certainly, you know, he's not as verbally comfortable as he was a few years ago, but he plowed through that speech, and in it, he made the pledge that he was going to be here for Barack Obama's inauguration, and he honored that pledge, and it's something that really is inspiring to me to see a man like that who is so dedicated to the future of our country and the party.
No doubt. The Kennedy family have been heroes to me as a kid growing up in Massachusetts. Really, it's really hard to be a Democrat and hard to not love the Kennedys. And he obviously epitomizes the strength and the fortitude that the family has had, and Bobby Kennedy and Jack Kennedy showed before him, and you know, and there's actually, I ran into a couple of grandkids, Matthew and Joe Kennedy's kids and Joe Jr., and there's something about it. I mean, you know, not every Kennedy has it, but I would say that, you know, those who do just love this, and they are just true patriots because they fight really hard. I mean, you know, here's a couple of years ago during the Social Security fight, you know, Ted Kennedy, you know, almost turning blue, trying to stop what President Bush was trying to do to destroy and privatize Social Security. And he was one of the lions on the floor stopping this when many other Democrats were, you know, putting their fingers up in the air. So it goes without saying that he's a hero in Boston. He's a hero across the country and, for that matter, across the world, as their name is still great. And I think you're going to see that now help Caroline Kennedy get named in the next couple of weeks as a New York senator. And replacing Hillary Clinton, because I think that is still the preeminent name in politics.
Well, I have mixed feelings about it. I think it's quite likely that Caroline Kennedy will get the Senate appointment. And, you know, I acknowledge the value of her name and the dynasty. I guess I'm still a little bit uncomfortable with the idea of a kind of entitlement. But we'll have to watch and see how it plays out. I think the governor of New York has pretty well accepted that she's the lead contender there. And we could see a vote as early as tomorrow confirming Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. So that seat could go into play in the next 48 hours.
It could be. And, of course, that's another Boston connection, John Kerry being the chair of the Foreign Relations Committee. And we're going to be interested to see what he has. We're trying to get him on my show over the next couple of days, see what he has to say about this process. And, you know, and I tell you, I think Caroline Kennedy has a lot of potential. Obviously, she doesn't have the background of some of the other elected officials in New York. But on the other hand, some of the elected officials in New York, well, as far as you can have them, you can have them, because they're not really that impressive to me, and I covered New York politics for a couple of years. So, you know, I think Caroline has obviously you know, not have the history, but on the other hand, of being in elected office. But we've seen what not being in elective office and being in elective office can give you. Don Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, et cetera, et cetera. 25 years of being involved in government doesn't necessarily make you wise.
Yep, I agree with that. That is for sure. Well, Jeff, before I go to a break here, anything else, any color that you'd like to add that you've observed or absorbed in Washington today?
Well, I will say this. If you have any PETA listeners, tell them to stay away from here. There's more fur than can fly here than I've seen in 25 years. And so keep all your PETA friends away. I will do the same. And otherwise, no, I mean, everybody here is in a festive mode. There's, you know, there are a lot of people who, you know, just want to take this all in. And I think also, too, that people are very excited to get things done. I mean, they're here to party tonight, and they'll party out through the weekend, I would presume, in different locations around the country. But I think people want jobs. I think they want to get this country back in order. And I think they also want the respect around the world. And that to me is what I've been hearing all weekend since I've been here on Saturday, is that, you know, we're sick and tired of being laughed at. We're sick and tired of being, you know, the cowboy, you know, shoot first and ask questions later. We're, you know, losing jobs left and right, whether it's the India, South America, and who's gaining but more of the wealthy, more of the Republican elite. So I think it's time for movement by Obama and the Congress, and it couldn't come fast enough for most people here tonight and most people that that I think you and I have been talking to on our shows over the last several weeks.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, enjoy yourself and then crash, okay?
We will. I will make sure I'm in bed by 3 a.m. your time.
Okay. Well, have a great time, and thank you for this exceptional report from the Western Ball.
Thank you so much. We'll see if we can get you any celebrities on before you go off.
Okay. I got 8 minutes. Have them dial in. We'll talk to them right away.
All right. We'll take care, and always good to be with you, Peter B.
All right. Jeff Santos, mornings on WWZN AM 1510 in Boston. And live from the Western Ball in D.C. tonight at the D.C. Convention Center. We'll take a break and return for the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good evening, everyone. This is Thea with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now, we have one incident to report. In Monterey on Guadalupe Street at Portola Road, we have a traffic hazard. There's some paint cans in the road, so use caution there. Other than that, traffic is looking pretty good, and it's smooth sailing.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. New computer with high-end sound card, $4,000. Replacing satellite dish blown off roof in storm, $2,500. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains, priceless. KRXA 540, think for yourself.
The birds and the airplane.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, and the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest espresso, coffee, fresh local baked goods, and internet access. Come try our new Zawadi African chai. And remember, Coffeetopia, we're here to help.
A blazing sun burning a hole in the sky. I never thought that it could be like this. 24 hours a day. It's too hard to think when the trouble's so deep.
I just saw Barack and Michelle dancing at the Commander-in-Chief inaugural ball. Don't stop the dance.
Mama says true, it's all that matters.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, Living Dangerously, here as we try to cover the events in Washington. And it may be noisy, but we've got Eileen Proctor backstage at the Purple Ball in Washington. Eileen, do you read me?
I can barely hear you because I'm backstage at the inaugural Purple Ball right near the kitchen, and it's rather raucous. There's 650 Obama maniacs outside. It was an enormously successful event. Devo is just about to go on the stage.
Devo?
Pardon me?
Is that Devo you said?
Il Devo, yes.
Oh, Il Devo.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, but, Eileen, what is the focus of the Purple Ball? What's their mission?
Because it's a mixture of red and blue and sharing Obama's vision of bringing America together.
Uh-huh. And do you find it successful? Do we have, like Grover Norquist dancing with Maxine Waters?
I just heard you say a cuss word.
No. What I said is, do we have Karl Rove dancing with Maxine Waters?
That would be a big trip, wouldn't it?
It'd be purple. Well, Eileen, I can tell it's
in the world upside down and purple.
It's very difficult to converse here, but I'm glad we got to talk to you for a moment, and I'm glad you're there at the scene of the Purple Ball.
All right, thank you so much, Peter.
All right, good to talk with you. That's Eileen Proctor.
Thank you so much.
She's
chatting with you.
She's a great progressive PR woman, and she's there backstage, or in the kitchen, as she said, at the Purple Ball in Washington. Here is Ron in San Francisco. Hi, Ron. You're on the PBC show.
Your podcast last night with David Cobb and the Green Party, and I thought that was great. I wanted to make a comment. In order to end the nightmare of the beginning of the 21st century, we have to hold this administration accountable and have legitimate criminal investigations. If we want to end the terror, the treachery, and the treason, the first casualty of war is truth. Mm-hmm. And the war on terror began because of 9/11. And the truth of 9/11 has never come out. It was investigated by the White House and the executive director Philip Zelikow,
yeah,
who controlled that whole scenario. Max Cleland said it was a farce and left the commission.
It was a whitewash at best.
And it's just, I mean, it defies logic. I mean, the reports of molten steel. There's only two ways to get molten steel. That's with explosives or in a smelter. The powdered concrete, the bones of people found four blocks away on little fragments on top of buildings. Friends, please support architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, AE 9/11 Truth, to get the truth out there, to have a legitimate investigation into who blew those towers up. Did the neocons do it? Did the Israelis help them? Let's find out the truth so that we can have justice, and then we can create peace in the 21st century.
I'm with you, Ron. Thank you very much. I appreciate your comment. All right. Thank you for the call today. Well, I want to wrap up our program with a couple of more quotes from this section of the San Francisco Chronicle that was published over the weekend. And they asked 40 people from the Bay Area to write post-it notes to Barack Obama. And I'll read a few that I didn't read earlier. How about going meat-free for a month? USAservice.org, a Craigslist for service. Change.gov, the new grassroots democracy. Good start. Let's get going. Another note here, please don't screw this thing up. Green tech, green jobs, now. Don't lie, please. Don't worry, email will still be there in 8 years. Don't forget local and sustainable. We're counting on you. And I read this one earlier, but it's a precious one from a young person. Dear Mr. Obama, can you reassure me that life doesn't end but begins at 30? I'd also like to stop worrying about going bankrupt if I get sick or injured and have no health insurance. Well, those are the comments and aspirations of some Americans. I want to thank you for listening to our extended broadcast today, however much of it you were able to absorb. My thanks to Katrina Rill for putting this show together and scrambling to get all the guests on the phone despite some very difficult circumstances. And I thank you for your support of this program. We will continue on into the Obama era and honor our commitment to call him as we see him. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thank you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
IBEW is the proud sponsor of our progressive coverage of the historic Obama inauguration, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. 750,000 strong is poised to contribute to President Obama's plans for a green economy and our new energy future. Our members are the skilled workforce with the most experience in solar and wind turbine installation, and we have the training programs to supply the skilled labor for our green future. The IBEW is on the front lines, the power lines of the fight for clean energy, from small commercial jobs to massive alternative energy projects, from the Atlantic to the Pacific. The IBEW has a proven track record of professional, high-quality solar and wind installation. Visit our website at IBEW.org. And thanks to every IBEW member who helped bring a new day to Washington. IBEW, helping to transform America's energy.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The new first couple take to the dance floor. President Obama and his wife Michelle, he in white tie and she in a gown, are making the rounds of 10 inaugural balls. Their first stop was the neighborhood ball for grassroots supporters.
We are going to need you. Not just today, not just tomorrow, but this year, for the next 4 years, and who knows after that, because together we are going to change America. Thank you, guys.
Mr. Obama delivered a sober message at his swearing-in ceremony.
Our nation is at war against a far-reaching network of violence and hatred. Our economy is badly weakened, a consequence of greed and irresponsibility on the part of some, but also our collective failure to make hard choices and prepare the nation for a new age.
He said the challenges are serious and many, but vowed they will be met. Washington was packed for the event, a crowd estimated at 2 million. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson covered the inaugural parade.
The parade started nearly an hour late, and the limousine crept along. But when the new president stepped from his limo, it was a moment of pure excitement.
Unbelievable. Best time I like. Look at me. Shaking.
It will never happen again, and it's wonderful to be part of history.
The president and first lady held hands and braved the cold and walked for a full 7 minutes, 22 seconds before returning to the limo. But in a moment few might have expected, President and Mrs. Obama gave the crowd a 7-minute and 48-second encore just a few blocks later.
Luncheon at the Capitol ran long in part because Senator Ted Kennedy suffered a seizure. Doctors say it was simple fatigue, but they're keeping him in the hospital overnight. Meanwhile, in Midland, Texas...
Ladies and gentlemen, the 43rd President of the United States and Mrs. Laura Bush!
The Bushes were welcomed home by a crowd of 20,000, and the former president talked about his plans.
I'm going to write a book. I want people to be able to understand what it was like in the Oval Office when I had to make some of the tough decisions that I was called upon to make.
Mr. Bush.